men's mental health.
Would I make a change for once in my life? Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind and know, cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
You got to make that change, man. Talk about it. Let's continue with Men's Month. Let's take time for a mental check. Get it? Ha, 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 ha. How are you feeling? What's on your mind? Is there anything bothering you you want to discuss? Stress? Marriage? Work life? Romance? Single life? Sex or not? Women, dating, children, depression, anxiousness, anxiety. How are you feeling? What's up with you and your mental state? I am your hostess, Ms. Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anaya Self-Who Design. Welcome, worldwide listeners, to us as I broadcast to you on Tuesday, June 6, 2023. Today is D-Day. Pearl Harbor got bombed, and like, still some men who are still surviving, so let's, you know, salute them for keeping us safe. But let's talk about, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, men's mental state of mind. Let's just get it off your chest and join us tonight. Join us, worldwide listeners, and let's talk about it as you chime in tonight at 845-241-9985. 845-241-9985. Come on and join me. Let's talk about what's on you, what's on your mind, what's bothering you. You know, it's just nice to have a men's quorum, and you know, so you're kind of like a barbershop, you know, with the woman at the helm, but I'm not really at the helm, I'm just listening, trying to help brothers out, trying to get them to get what's on their chest off, to talk about it, you know. Let's see, FHE Health. That's what I'm talking about, not talking about. That's where I'm going at the moment. So boys don't cry. Common mental health stereotypes for men. Boys don't cry. There's four stereotypes about men's mental health. There is a crisis developing in the United States around men's mental health. Men are much less likely to seek help when they're struggling with personal and emotional issues. And result is alarming. One study from American Foundation for Suicide Prevention found that nearly 70% of suicides are men. Hello? 70% of suicides are men, and men are 3.54 times more likely than women to take their own lives. The more we learn about men's experience with mental illness, and the more we understand the conditions that allow it to flourish, toxic masculinity and traditional patriarchal systems in society put more pressure on men to be strong and resilient. Even when they theoretically have access to the help they need. Men do. They just sometimes they don't want to take it. As a result, conditions like anxiety, depression, and other mental disorders are allowed to worsen. So they get worse. Fellas, we love you. We don't want you out there just, you know, flailing and not getting the help that you need. There is help out there for you. So, you know, call it. Let's talk about it. There are significant obstacles that men face when it comes to getting help for certain issues. It's looked at as more acceptable for men to admit that they're struggling with substance abuse and enter a drug and alcohol rehab program than to seek short or long-term mental health treatment. Even when mental health resources for men are available, the stigma and discrimination around asking for help keep men from accessing that treatment. In this piece, we'll look at some of the harmful and negative stereotypes that keep men from getting the support they need. I'm going to first bring on my brother from another mother, Montana Joe. What do you know, Montana Joe? How are you doing?
Hello, sister from another mister. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm well, and yourself?
Not bad, not bad. You've got a topic which I think is important today. Mental health men. Yeah. So you just started, which is good. And
I did.
I presume I'm the first one here. Okay. I presume I'm the first one here. Oh, okay.
Yes,
so now you and I can have a nice little chat before the others show up. And mental health for men. I'm sure you're going to be reading from a list from some website, but
of course.
I'm hearing an echo. Oh, boy. Are you getting an echo?
I'm not getting an echo, but I'm getting that, it's not bad at the moment. Say something. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2.
Of course, it has that, what do you call it in the background? That, that crackling sound. But it's only for you.
Oh, that's when I move. Yeah, mm-hmm. If I'm moving around, yeah. But it should be quiet now. Hopefully, anyway. So.
Don't stop moving, you did.
Yeah, I stopped moving. So,
I'm so mad.
With regards
Go ahead.
To, Miss Jokester, with regards to the mental health, yeah, men men won't ask for help because there is a stigma attached. We're supposed to be the stoic creatures, the one that is supposed to take the bullets in the back and in the shoulders and in the chest and in the heart, and we're supposed to keep on, you know, walking like we're Energizer buddies. We, as people, we do have problems with, relationships and sometimes issues outside of relationships. So I don't think there should be a stigma attached to people, to men, who ask for help.
No, there shouldn't be. And they're human just like everybody else. So I don't know. Well, like you say, it's a man thing. And so men need to, not think that they're wah-wah pee pants and cry babies and everything else. I mean, they can be strong, but they still need a shoulder to lean on and other men to kind of, help them with that fall. And a lot of times they don't get it because they don't want to be looked upon as weak, But you guys are not weak. You're human, and you have feelings just like everybody else in the universe. So I don't know why you can't, stop, drop, and roll and get help as well. So in my mind, if you need to go and get mental health, get a mental check, go get it, too. Go get it,
Yeah.
That's how I
yeah,
feel.
But you provided, you provided the problem. You gave the reason why men don't do it. You said if they do try to get some help, then other people are going to look down on them as being weak. So it's not really the men who are saying, well, some, but it's compounded by the fact that, number one, the man may feel weak, and he knows if it gets out that he's, that he's getting therapy, then people will say, old Johnny, he's not as strong as we thought. This guy needs a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So he's going to be damaging his own reputation. So it's other people as well that have to have the attitude of, oh, if a woman can go for help, right, and she needs it, and nobody looks down on her, then we shouldn't look down on our buddy if he has to go for help.
Exactly. That's
so
exactly what I'm saying.
It should be both ways. Yeah.
It's exactly, because men are people just like women are people. And they need, I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because they're men, why they get stereotyped, because they're supposed to be strong and, they're not supposed to be, they're supposed to be the head of the household and they're supposed to hold up everything. And they, heck, that's why a lot of people, a lot of men die. And that's why a lot of men commit suicide. And that's why a lot of men are stressed out. And that stress causes cancer. So they need to release that pressure. I don't care if you go running, jogging, playing basketball, go to what's that place that you can go and just break stuff. I don't know what it's called, kind of like something room. I can't remember. Rhonda had given it to me before. But you guys need to release the pressure as well. And I don't know why people don't, other people, women or other men don't see fit, don't see why it's not fit for them to release that pressure and to get that help. Otherwise, you're going to break, and then you're going to, what happened to Joe? Oh, you know, he couldn't handle the pressure. You can't handle the truth. Well, you know, he can handle
right.
the truth.
Right, you can't handle the truth.
You know, as you can handle the truth, but other people were, you know, either bullying you because, you know, you try to get that assistance, and then they look down upon you like, oh, you can't handle a little pressure? Oh, you know, what's it going to be next time, you know? You're going to go crying to your mom? You know, no. I'm sorry. So that's just how I feel. I just don't think it's right proper for men not to get the assistance that they so do that they need. I really don't. That's just me.
Well, I agree with you on that. Another thing too, mm-hmm. in order to you're saying that men need to relieve the pressure, let's say by playing ball
yes.
or going bowling or doing something.
Something. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I agree in part. What I think men should do is just have the attitude, I'm going to do what's good for me, and if other people don't like
right.
it, F-U-K-K them. That should be the attitude. Because if I don't have people who can support me, I don't need them. I've always had that
right.
type of attitude anyway. And more
right,
men,
right.
Should, as a matter of fact, a man, that's why a man needs a strong, independent woman. So that the woman doesn't have to rely on his masculinity, which is then called toxic masculinity if things go wrong. She should be independent. She should be strong enough to help him if he's going to be strong enough to help her. So men need
right,
to change
right.
their attitudes around and say, if I need help, I need help. If my family, my immediate nuclear family, my outside
mm-hmm.
family, my aunts, my uncles, et cetera, mm-hmm. my friends, don't like it, too bad.
Right,
they don't pay my
right.
rent.
And they're not there to help me or to support me in what I need to do. You know.
Exactly. That's what friends
okay.
are for.
Mm-hmm.
You need friends to be mm-hmm. supportive, not to say, oh,
right.
God, look at Johnny, Bobby, Joey. They can't handle it. Who needs them?
Right, right.
Who
exactly.
needs those kind of friends?
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, and you need to have a strong support system. Hey, if you have to go, as I was talking to someone last time, to the barbershop and, you know, talk to the men at the barbershop. Even if you don't get a haircut, just, you know, have that camaraderie and talk about things, open up about, you know, certain things in life that are bothering you. You know,
well,
that's
you think,
how I
you
see
think
it.
The barbershop is a good place because if they're probably going to be the ones who are going to be looking down on the man for needing
no.
help.
No, 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 no. I don't know because that's where a lot of times men open up, and that's where a lot of times they can get help and what have you because they have that backbone, they have that camaraderie, they have that support group and support system. And at least I know in the black community, I don't know about, you know, in the white community or in the other communities, but I do know that in the black community that men will stay at the barbershop for hours, even though they already got their hair done or they're, you know, done whatever needs to be done. You know, because they have that support group, you know, and as soon as a woman comes in, it's a whole different story.
Well, yeah.
A whole different
and the support
story,
group that
you know.
Yeah, the support group you're talking about, is if a man's complaining about the normal things that men complain about, then of course he's going to get support from the, you know, from the fellow barbers and the other people who are there who are customers. But for a man
mm-hmm.
to switch from that topic of, you know, geez, I'm telling you, these two girls I took out the other night, they were such pains in the butt, to go from, I think I need real psychiatric help. I don't know if the barbershop is a good place to discuss, you know, the psychological inner workings of a man's mind.
Hey, have you tried it? Have you gone to the barbershop and talked to him? Have you
and
sat
talk,
in
no,
him?
No, nah.
So that's what I'm saying. You probably go and do what you need to do and leave, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. See, yeah, because if you went to the mall that, well, if you go anywhere, that's what they do. They just hang out at the bar. Well, you've seen Coming to America, right? With Eddie Murphy.
Well, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because the barbershop kind of dynamic is kind of famous within the black community, that everybody has a neighborhood barbershop that they can, you know, go to and talk to other people. Yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So,
But I'd like to get I'd like to get some people to attest to men going to the barbershop and talking about deep inner mind issues. I'd like to know if that's going to be supported. That would be good if it is, but I don't know.
Sarge, are you out there listening? Solution, you haven't joined in a while. Are you out there listening? Are you in the background just, you know, humming and howling or just listening? Are you really want to join in? Fellas, you know, we're talking about men's mental state of mind, you know, and men's health and what have you. So if y'all want to join me at 845-241-9985, please do. Join me in the chat room. Join me on the air. Or, you know, text my telephone or what have you. Let's talk about it, because this is something that I think is that needs to be discussed. Of course, I have a lot of things I think need to be discussed. And, you know, you guys can talk openly. You don't have to say your name if you have something that's really stressing you out or what have you. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. And continuing with this article, it says, mental health stereotypes help build barriers to treatment. Stereotypes of any kind are damaging to their subject for two reasons. They frame the way society views members of the stereotype group, which is true, and they cause members of the group to internalize stereotyped behavior. Over time, we've looked at men and women very differently, and it's had an impact. Women are more likely to experience mental illness for a variety of reasons, but studies show that men are more reluctant to seek care for their mental health compared to women. Here are the four common mental health stereotypes for men and the reality that makes them so damaging to society. As we talked about earlier, men don't cry. What do you think about that, Joe?
Yeah, for the very same reasons why men don't seek mental assistance by going to a professional is because there's a stigma attached to a man who does cry. He's a baby. He's not holding up his end of his masculine male card.
Masculinity.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Masculinity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So men should cry. There are women who do say, well, I like a man to cry. I like a man to be sensitive. And when they get a hold of him. Yeah, I know, you know, you've said it, but there are other women who say it, and then when they do, they find a man who cries, let's say, he cries three times in a year, four times in a year. That's too many times.
Mm-hmm.
However, she can cry, like, once
every
a month,
day.
Once every 3 weeks, yeah. And then she expects the man to hold her and to say, baby, baby, I'm here for you. But then she will get tired of the role if it's reversed, but it's not even... It's not even as frequent as she would do it. So that's another reason why men, you know, don't cry, don't want to show weakness. And that's sad, because if you can't trust, if a man can't trust women in general, in order for you, for him to find comfort, same way that she can find comfort in him, I mean, then the dynamic between men and women is crap, which it is.
Right. And so what they're saying is men are often regarded as less emotional than women. While there may be some truth to the fact that hormonal differences between some men and some women can cause the two sexes to experience certain emotions in different ways, generally, men are just as emotional as women, which is true. And the main difference is that very few men grow up in an environment where they're taught that emotions are normal. Fathers are less likely to express affection to family members other than mothers due to the traditional gender roles and the conventional family unit. Boys are taught that at a young age that they need to be strong and tough, while girls are taught to be that being emotional is okay. This results in society where men, adult men, are unfamiliar with their feelings, which can result in the development of unhealthy outlets. What's more, one of the emotions that is normalized for young people, especially for men as they grow up, is anger, meaning that manifestations of emotions often take the form of violence and victimization of loved ones. Reverend Ron just joined us, and we were on the topic of men don't cry, Reverend Ron. So welcome. How are you doing, sir?
All right. How are you all, everybody?
Good.
Who's that? Who's that?
Reverend Ron. We have Reverend
Ron. I thought I recognized you. Hey, Reverend Ron. Hey, by the way, you know, when I came in about a week or two ago, and
yeah.
I think that was you singing, Reverend. You got a good voice if that was you.
Oh, wow. Thank you, man.
Yeah,
Joe,
I enjoyed it.
Is that Joe don't return?
Yes, he returned.
Yeah,
he's back.
Yeah.
I said, where has Joe gone? Where's Joe, you know?
You know, you've heard Return of the Mac, right? Well, we had Return of the Joe.
Right. I was on a hiatus that was inflicted upon me. My phone provider took away my service as a result of a mistake, and they finally restored it. By that time, I missed my own show. I missed this show. I was without service for about a week because of those idiots.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's good to hear you, man. Good to hear you back, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here, too. I like I said, I popped in to say hello, and then I heard the recording of your, must have been off your album. And I didn't know if that was you or not, but I presumed it was you because you were the one leading the services for that either Sunday night or Thursday night, I think.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I said, hey, he's got a pretty good voice.
Oh.
I'm always saying support him, but y'all be, you know, hanging up before I can even do anything. So I say support Reverend Ron. But no,
You really know how to rock it, you know what I mean? It's more than just the voice. You know how to deliver.
To God be the glory.
Amen. Well, you know what the topic is tonight, right, Reverend Ron?
Yeah, I heard you say that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we need to talk about it. We do need to talk about it.
I'm all in because I like that. I like the topic.
Good. So we were talking about men don't cry, and Joe had commented earlier, you know, that men don't cry. And, you know, if men cry like 3 times a year, you know, they get frowned upon. But if women cry 4 times a year, 5 times a year, every day, so on and so forth, it's okay. But it's like, and that's not right. It's not fair, in my mind.
Oh, heck no!
No.
I am going to petition the court so I can say hell. Can I say hell?
No.
Thank you.
No. The court is not in order for you to say that. No.
Yeah. Why not?
I say
hell's part of your
cuss word.
Part. Uh huh. What?
Cuss word.
What? For many
you
days,
abide by my rules,
men,
I'll put you on mute.
You've been dying to do that for about a year. Dying to do that.
I know. I do that. And that, I think we have Pastor Don just joined us. How you doing, Pastor Don?
Yes,
ma'am. Yes.
Good evening, Brother Pastor Don. How are you?
Yes.
Amen.
We have Joe and Reverend Ron on the line thus far, and we're talking about the mental.
Good evening.
Men's mental state. So, yes. And right now we're at this point on this article, men don't cry. And then I just read about men don't cry because they were always taught not to cry, not to be emotional. But that I don't feel that that's fair to them. Because if you don't let it out, it's going to fester. You're going to get sick. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to be doing, you know, become an alcoholic. You're going to lash out. You may do all kind of things that are not, you know, healthy for other people or yourself. So if you let it out, and as I was saying, you know, go play ball, go run, go jog, go walk, go, you know, bowling, you know, just let it out. Go with the punching, you know, what do you call it, punching bag, something to get rid of that anger.
I have a special guest attendee tonight. I have my daughter here listening to the radio. So say hi to the radio, Lily.
Hola.
Hello. How are you, sweetie?
Good.
Oh, good. Hey.
Well, welcome.
I'm getting a broken hand. She got to learn someday. So, I mean, she's only seven, but she's starting. So that's how I start.
Hey. You got to start them early. If you don't start them early, you may not start them at all. They may not start. They may, you know, go down a different path. So thank you for allowing her to join us this evening. So what? How do you feel about men and crying? Men shouldn't cry. Pastor Don.
I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
I said, what is your feeling about men shouldn't cry or they don't cry? What should they do?
Oh, no, men cry all day long. And sometimes when the world gets to acting crazy, even my daughter's going to cry. It's nice, but you have to know what it is. Baby, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about men crying?
I feel kind of bad for them. It's something they
said by being them. Yeah, good job. Yeah, she said she feel bad for them if somebody's bullying them, and that's the reason for no crying. That is a good job. Thank you, baby. Good job.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. The winning team, 302.
Come on down.
And we also have Chris Collins. Good. Go ahead and greet us. Go ahead. Pass it on.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Dodging, CEO of the Elite 300 Winning Team Members. We are changing the world by teaching people real business today to change the future for tomorrow. I'm in attendance tonight. I got my daughter here. I'm ready. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's do a radio. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
I told you, Pastor, it's 302 now. Let's get your numbers right. You know, you're increasing. You can't just say the winning 300 unless you get rid of two other people. So you got 302. But no. And we have Chris Collins who just joined us. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing wonderful, everyone.
Good.
Hey, how's everybody?
Good. Right now we're talking about men don't cry, but they should cry. Okay, they should release the pressures and their anger and what have you. So, what say you about men not crying?
If you don't have emotion, you can't show emotion.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about that.
Okay. We could talk about
the whole thing about being able to show emotion. Now, I'm not saying everybody turn into a crybaby, no ball baby.
Right.
We're not,
right.
I'm not talking about you being a sissy just because you have a feeling. You know, I lost a dear friend this past week. I lost my brother the week before. And I lost my son 6 months ago.
Wow.
You know, so I lost my dog in January. So when you get to looking at the role of my past 6 months, you know, I don't cry every day. But you know
what?
Sometimes I can just see something and make me cry because I know that we can make a difference, and that shouldn't be, but it is, because people aren't hearing and they're not expressing and they're not volunteering and they're not paying it forward. There's so much that comes with being emotional, but you don't have to be no crybaby to be a man that doesn't shed a tear.
Right.
If you can't shed a tear for another, then I look out for anybody around you. I would say, oh dear, you know, because we don't know what kind of time bomb you are. You know, I'm not sure what you're going to say, how you're going to react. You know, and most of the time it's probably going to be explosive. Now there's a problem, because why should you explode on anybody? What gives you the right to think your opinion is that drastic? So, you know, you look at all the aspects of what causes a man to cry. What is the reason that a man would cry? Now, the thing is it shouldn't take a death in the family for you to show emotion. But it should be able, your kid should be able to look at you and not be proud of you. That should make you cry.
Right.
Because if you can't, you know, that's the problem we got out here with this nation. We got children raising children that don't know how to raise children. So, you know, the kids know how to cry. But when they're crying, it ain't because they're sitting there having an emotion. They're crying because they were either scared or they were beaten. They're hurting or they're scared. It's an emotion because they're hurting because somebody else is hurting. So there's different reasons for emotion. You know, we got a lot to talk about.
Right.
So I guess that you heard me.
And at the top of the hour, when I was reading the articles, you know me, I'm always reading articles. It says there is a crisis developing in the United States around men's mental health. Men are much less likely to seek help when they're struggling with personal and emotional issues, and the result is alarming. One study from American Foundation for Suicide Prevention found that nearly 70% of suicides are men, and men are 3.54 times more likely than women to take their own lives. And the more we learn about men's experiences with mental health, the more we understand the conditions that allow it to flourish. So we can talk about emotions. I mean, this is y'all's show, so, you know, y'all more than welcome to discuss. You can go into different directions and go into directions. So I don't know if Reverend Ron, if he got to voice his opinion on men crying or not.
Well, to begin with, I think that if a man cries, he should cry to God. Separating, because he's looked upon as the strength, and you don't want everybody to fall apart because they look at you as the strength and you fall apart. I think that if a man cries, he should be crying to God. I don't think he should publicly, or I don't think he should just break down and lose the power that people look upon him, especially family, especially people that depend on him for being strength. I think that if he cries, then I think that it should be separated from people.
And I disagree with that, because you can cry to God. I mean, you know, I had to voice it earlier, because, you know, even though that they see you as the strength, they also should see you as a sensitive being as well. You know, you have feelings as well. And if you are strong all the time, it's going to look at you like, oh, dang, well, they don't. Can I go to Dad? Because he don't never cry. He don't feel like he has any emotion. He don't have any feelings. I don't know if I can go to him. I'm scared to go to him. And they, you know, children are,
that don't stop you from being a counselor or a consoler because you don't cry in public. That don't stop you from being an aid to your children's emotions. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying I think that's my thought. And I stand to be corrected, but that's my thought. I think that if I'm going to cry, let me cry to somebody that can deal and make me brand new behind my crying.
Okay.
Well,
so,
this is going to sound strange, but I agree with both of you, maybe for different reasons. Because before everybody else got here, my dad and I were talking about why men don't cry. One of them is because they do feel, as a result of the indoctrination that we get, that if you do cry, you know, you're weak. Then there's other people that if you cry in public with your friends, you know, you're not going to cry in the town square, but if you cry in public with your friends and then they look down upon you, you're worried about that, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't look down upon you. And you're going to be worried about your girlfriend or your wife thinking that, you know, this is not the boyfriend or the man that I want to marry. So we should be able to cry in public without people looking down on us, but we can't do that. So as a result, we should cry, if we're going to cry, we should cry with somebody that we definitely trust, if that's a therapist, a priest, a rabbi, an imam, a reverend, a pastor, etc. Yeah. Like me personally, I have cried. I've cried by myself. I didn't feel ashamed about it. I didn't feel weak. I felt pain. And I didn't want that pain to fester. I was not going to cry in front of friends that I had because I didn't know if they would be supportive enough. If I knew that they would be supportive, then I would have cried in front of them. So I agree with both of you under certain circumstances.
Okay. And I had brought up, Joe and I had, was talking about support groups. Okay. I know in the black community that, you know, we're talking about barbershops. So now that we have more men on the line, would you guys, how do I want to say this? Do you guys discuss things at the barbershop? You know, that you wouldn't normally, no, that's not how I want to say that either. And I don't want to say, about a barbershop?
Let me phrase
Go
it.
Go ahead.
Let me, because you and I did discuss it. I think if you guys go to the barbershop and if you use them as sounding boards to talk about, let's say, I got this parishioner who's a pain in the butt, or I've got this woman who's a pain, I got my brother who's a pain, I got my son-in-law who's a pain. That's one thing. But if you're going to use the barbershop, and I say this probably won't happen, you're not going to use the barbershop to talk about, you know, I feel like so dejected that the world is collapsing, and I've got to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I doubt if that's going to be brought up in the barbershop. Now, I may be wrong, but I'm doubting it. Is that a good way of phrasing it, Inez?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we have
Bella.
Can I share something?
No. Go ahead.
We own a barber college, and we have all kind of young people coming out of tunnel system, coming out of just different. Some of them high school, some of them college, went to college and it didn't work out, so they come and be a barber. And they go to school here for about 11 months. And then they go take the test with the state and become certified barbers. And a lot of times they come in with different kinds of situations, okay? And they know that I'm a minister. So when I'm there, not at the bank, they'll come talk to me, okay? They come talk to me.
Okay.
And a lot of times they have really, really, really emotional trauma that they're dealing with and chronological trauma. And so they need someone to build strength to them, right? So it wouldn't help them very much if they came to me for consultation and for encouragement and I bust out to crying because of their situation. Where it wouldn't help them be strong, but if I listen to them and watch them break down and then build them back up with encouragement, well then they're gonna look at me and say, well, that man is a man of strength. He's a counselor because my situation, as terrible as it was, he was able to listen to me, watch me sigh, and then encourage me to the point where I feel brand new from what I did when I came to him. Okay? Now, God, let me just say this part right here. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power and of a sound mind. Okay? So I kind of used that to be able to deal with their situations. And like I say, it varies, but I have to keep a level conscious mind, not a frantic emotional mind, because I hear chronological story. Because it's chronic in their life, and things are bad, and it's not like they want it to be. Well, then they don't need somebody to cry with them. They need someone to strengthen them, that they walk away with more courage and leave the tears and move on with sanity, you know, and availability with knowledge. Okay, I can deal with this now because I talked to this man over here who has strength, and he enabled me to go on and do better than my situation. So the tears are left there, and they go on and be men, and then stand up. And the next time a situation as such approached them, then they're not so easy to be broken, you know what I mean? Because they got some courage, they got some information on what to do when situations and challenges are too strong for you. Don't faint, don't fall out, but stand up and deal with it head on. Now, how do you deal with it? Do you know everything? No. Do I know everything? No. But I can take experiences that I have became victorious in, and I can share the pathway with them, that their lives can take a different turn. And then in a position where if their money situation is bad, when they get to crying, I can say, see, you ain't got to cry. You could have just asked me. We own a bank. You can get a loan over here to help your situation. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, moving the fear, you know, like Joe, I think it was Joe said a few minutes ago, that if you overtaken with fear, then that's all you're gonna do is cry, and you cry until after a while, you will become hopeless, and all you got is tears. Whereas if you are taught to do better, or someone explained to you with sanity, then you can be encouraged and move on, and after a while, you see that same person crying. They are able to tell the next man to cry to them. Say, no, you ain't got to do no crying. Just you gotta shape up situations in your life. So that's why I say I don't cry unless I cry to God, because that's where my strength, encouragement, and that's where it comes from. So.
Okay.
And your woman don't want to see you cry. Your woman don't want to see you cry. You can say what you want to say. A man, woman do not want to see him cry. That she feel like that's her job and the children's job. She don't want to see you cry. And I ain't intending to let mine see me cry.
But she's supposed to be your helpmeet at certain points as well. Is that not correct? So when you do have those moments of quote-unquote weakness or... you know, you feel that your strength isn't there. She's supposed to be there to build you up. Is that not correct?
You said it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in a world where supposed to be can turn around be a critic to you.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a critical factor to you.
Yeah, but that also contributes to the mental problem that men have. Because she is supposed to be, regardless of whether she believes in God or not, she's supposed to be there for you. And the example that you gave, Reverend, when you said the man came to you because he knew you were a minister. That's different than the normal barbershop dynamic, I would imagine. If you weren't a minister, I doubt if that same guy would be coming to you for encouragement.
Yeah, you're most likely right.
So question then, regarding the barbershop, I'm just because I don't be in the barbershop. So, because you know, well, I'm looking at the thing from Coming to America. You know how the fellas just be hanging out, playing chess, whatever they do in the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, do men talk about different subjects, which I'm sure they do, and do you lift each other up in that aspect, or do you offer support, help, or anything? Because I was gonna have a show on barbershop beauty salon talk, but you know I don't know how that would go over for the simple fact that you know men open up in barbershops and women open up in beauty salons differently. So I don't know if that would be quote unquote a good subject. So anyway, that was just a thought I had. But go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Reverend Ron.
I think that when you are mature.
Uh-huh.
And you found a pathway in life that you've taken, and it caused you to be victorious and successful, then you could pass that along to a lot of hurting people and change their lives. Okay? Now, you think about men coming, out of the penal system, right? They get scared. They get scared after they get out because they haven't to deal with society and having to deal with an area. Say a man that's been locked down 20 years, 30 years, he come out, he got to be taught how to do everything. So he can become frustrated, especially if he comes out, he got to go to mama's house, he got to go to daddy's house, he got to go to somebody's house, and he got to immediately try to figure out how he's going to pay rent, help them pay rent, pay it. You know, just told his responsibilities, right? And some of them are afraid to go right and get a job because they got to get the IDs, they got to get all of this kind of thing. So it's a lot on them, right? It's a lot on them. And so they don't need somebody crying. They need somebody that can guide them, okay, in the way that they should go because they're doing enough crying themselves. And if you talk to them long enough, they'll break out the crying to you. You understand what I'm saying? So they don't need a weak leader. They need a leader that's strong and can take them through a pathway that they have already tried. It's been tried, and they know that it leads you righteously. Well, then that's what they need. Not only men coming out of the penal system, but you got some men that feel like they have failed in everyday life. And haven't made the mark that they think they need to make, and they think they're running out of time. They'll cry to you. But then what do you have to do? You have to encourage them and take them to another horizon of intellect. No, life don't end because you had a bad experience. It don't.
Right, right.
Matter of fact, the bad experience can be a trampoline to get you where you're going. It's just depending on your train of thought. And if you don't have a train of thought developed, then you need to get to someone that's strong that can help you. But crying is not the first option.
Well,
anybody else? Kevin?
Well, let me say, if anybody else wants to jump in.
Go ahead.
No, then I'll jump in. Okay, if encouraging means you're going to discourage somebody to cry, I think that's not the good first step. I think if you show somebody compassion and you do show them the way, I'm not even talking about religious, and you show them that crying doesn't make you weak. Crying just means you have pain that you're expressing yourself about.
Right, right.
But, you know, you can't, of course, a man shouldn't have to have that much pain all the time and start crying every week. But I would encourage somebody without letting them know that I think that they're weak. I would show them the way. But like I said, I've cried. And I have no regrets about crying because if I did not cry and if I tried to hold it in, I'm sure it would have festered within me, and I would not have appreciated anybody saying, Joe, man up, okay? Cowboy up. I would have taken out my .45 and shot him in the foot, because that's not what I needed, okay? I needed somebody to say, Joe, what's the problem? Yeah, I'm here for you, you know? And after a few of those, then I can, you know, take it upon myself, grab the reins, and move on up. But I like tough love when it's appropriate. When it's tough love when somebody's hurting, I'm not all for it. I don't know how, if it works, it works. But if it doesn't work, I can understand why.
I didn't say that I didn't cry. I said, but I just cried to God, right? And I said that I don't think a man should be crying because it's too many people depending upon him for strength. I think a man should apply himself to knowledge and wisdom that when these times come when people need him, well, then he's there to encourage them to move on. Now, do I criticize the men come to me? No. I don't tear them down. But if you notice, I said I practice a pathway
okay.
that I can lead. Others respect that pathway. Now, I might tell them, ain't no need of crying about it. You know, you might even say, but brother, ain't no need of crying now. It's let's do the right thing and move forward. Because, you know, like you say, people can become more torn down if they sit up and cry all the time. You understand what I'm saying? But if they take those tears, because tears are emotions that can't be controlled, right? So if they take and grab hold to sanity and they find a pathway that they can walk upon where things are going to change in their life, you ain't going to see no man crying. You're going to see a dude smiling. Because he's going to come back and he's going to tell you, say, man, you told me what to do. I've done it. And guess what? It has worked for my life. So that those tears turns into smiles because you didn't just leave him with emotions that couldn't be controlled, but you gave him knowledge and wisdom and life to move on forward. And you're going to turn that tear into a smile. But if you just break down and go to Holland and crying with him, y'all just going to have a crying fest. And then he's going to leave away and go cry to somebody else and almost become helpless and hopeless when you can have sanity because you've lived and you've matured through some things and share the experiences and how you got through it and then give him the pathway. You're going to help him then. And his tears are going to dry up, you know. His tears are going to dry up.
Well, what do you know? After being on the radio, what, over a year, I finally found something to disagree with Reverend Ron about.
No, we didn't disagree. We disagreed, Joe, but what you were saying that it's true. They do need a hand up. They need a hand up. You understand? Some people say, well, so if I let you cry, after you get to cry, I'm still supposed to give you some knowledge and wisdom so you can move on. I ain't supposed to just let you cry and leave you there.
Oh, I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying, it seems to me like you're saying, okay, you don't even really have to cry into the situation because you don't want to feel weak. You don't want to expose yourself. So hold back the tears, and then you show them wisdom. I would say, cry your butt off. Get it out. Get it out to the last drop. Just cry. And then give them wisdom. Because it seems to me, Reverend, that you think that if two people cry together, that the man's going to continue to be a crybaby. I think the man, well, not all men, of course, but I think the man would feel, dog, wow, I got somebody, I got a guy who's crying with me, my brother or my cousin or my best friend or my minister, etc. And he feels my pain. Wow, you know, and I feel good about that. Somebody's sharing their pain with me and I'm sharing my pain with them. And he's also telling me that he's experienced what I've experienced, and he's showing me what he's done in order to move himself forward. I like that approach.
Yeah.
I think Joe, that analogy do work. Okay, it does work. But I'm talking about, what if he been crying before he got to you? What if he been crying ever since he left the place that caused him his pain? Okay? So if he been crying before he got to you, then he don't need tears. He need instructions. Now, you can sympathize with people and still give them instructions. You notice I say, you heard me say, I say, well, brother, now, you don't need to spend a lot of time crying, but listen to what God is saying. I use what God is saying through me to you. But you can't do that if you're emotionally out of control, because you just started beating up on yourself about what you're going through and your pain. Well, he'd been doing that before he got to me. So God didn't send him to me for me to break down and go to crying with him. Which I understand your point, Joe. Well, if you let me cry and then get that out, but then you can beat me knowledge, which is true. But then sometimes when you've been crying already, your head is hurting now. You don't need to cry now. You need some knowledge so your head can stop hurting and you can see how to move, so you can move on how far. Because you can sit up and cry yourself into a frenzy that can have the worst headache you ever had in your whole life from crying. And some people even go worse. I've heard even sometimes people stroking out and all this kind of stuff from hollering. Well, you don't need to, when you've been crying a week, 2 weeks, it's time out for crying. Come on, let's get on track and move on like we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. So these, anybody else care to comment before we move forward? Chris, Pastor Don?
Well, I'm actually moving forward about, if somebody's just, trying to be crying because they're crying, that's not a reason to be really showing emotion. You're actually pouting. So,
right. There's a difference. There's totally a difference.
There's a big difference there. So, let's just move on and see what the next topic here is, what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. My daughter has a comment.
Okay. Go ahead.
Your turn, but well, you got the floor.
So we've been like making money and stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
And we've been like doing surveys to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad makes me $5 to get Robux.
Hey, man, come on now.
And he needs a nice dad.
That's my dad's comment.
Okay.
That's all for today.
Well, hey, I appreciate that, young lady. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. She's going to be a very good radio host. So, but we're talking about mental health stereotypes that help build, or that stereotypes help build barriers to treatment. And so, men don't cry. The next one is, men shouldn't talk about real stuff with friends. Women often take comfort in friendships when things get difficult. The same idea doesn't exist for men. There's a stereotypical scenario in which girls' relationships break up and she is immediately swarmed by friends offering support. On the other side of the breakup, boys are just supposed to shrug it off and move on. As a result, when women spend time together, they're more likely to bring up topics that deal with emotions and personal issues, while guys are expected to talk about sports and hobbies. This stereotype teaches young men that some topics are off limits, which makes it difficult for them to talk to a professional about their issues when they grow up. Talking about things that bother them has never been a natural resolution for most men. So, I mean, sometimes your first line of defense is your friends. You know, if you don't have your friends to talk to and you don't have God to talk to, which is your first line of defense, if you believe in God, then who do you talk to? Who should you talk to? Comment? I know that's going to just stir up some bees' nest.
Well, that's when you need a therapist. If you can't talk to your family, if you can't talk to your friends, then who do you have left? A therapist, your minister, you know, whatever religion that you're following, or if you're an atheist or an agnostic, then you've got to talk to a therapist if it's that bothersome. But then the therapist's got to find out, is this person exaggerating the pain as a result of the circumstance, which should not have been that painful? Or if the circumstance should have been that painful, how am I going to help this man or woman? You know, if he's crying, I can understand. You know, I mean, like I say, it depends upon whatever the painful situation is. But I think men need more support from their friends. Their friends have got to be there to realize that even though they don't admit it themselves, they've either cried or they felt like crying. There should not be a stigma attached to a man who cries.
No,
it's correct.
It really should. It really shouldn't. But you don't want to be one that, you know, keep a man crying. You know what I mean? In other words, it shouldn't be a stigmatism or a dogma, but it should be a principle where strength to strength, iron sharpens iron. Now, if Joe came to me hollering and crying, I first would probably ask Joe, what's wrong? You know, if he just came to me and broke down and was crying, I would ask him, Joe, what's wrong? And if he's constantly crying for about an hour, I would say, well, Joe, you got to quit crying and tell me what's going on.
Right.
I won't know where to deal with the issue if all I'm doing, you come to me crying and because you're my friend, and I'm your friend, and I break down and go to crying and hollering, and we cry for about 2 hours, head hurting, tired, blood pressure done went up. but if I let you weep for a few minutes, and then I say, well, Joe, what's wrong? You know?
Then
Joe got to stop crying long enough to say, well, this happened, tell me what he's going to do about the situation. Then I can add my knowledge into it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, he cried and told me, I said, okay, let's go. What's going on? Well, it's got to be some sanity beyond the emotion. The emotion's out of control. It's got to be some sanity where we can fix the problem.
Right. There should be, and everything's a should. You know, should be a lot of things. But the more common people a lot of times don't feel that way. You know, that we should do this and we should do that. We should be allowed to do such and such and such and such. But a lot of times our young manhood or womanhood don't allow us to do these things because we don't want to be looked upon or frowned upon. Joe, you may want to mute your line until you want to say something. Go ahead.
If I were to go to Reverend Ron, and he would say to me, okay, Joe, what's the problem? I would go, Ron, I know this reverend. He keeps telling me to man up, cowboy up. That's what I would say, Ron.
well, you would just be being comical, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I were to go to somebody, and I haven't because I don't think many men and women don't want to hear it from a man, and men don't want to hear it from a man for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, well, similar yet different reasons. But if a woman can cry, I don't see why a man can't. It's not going to take away his leadership abilities if he cries, gets it out, and then moves forward. Now, we never hear General MacArthur, General Patton, or any of the other generals in history who have cried, or Washington, but believe me, I bet you those generals have cried plenty, but just didn't want to let their men see them.
That's a form of weakness. That is a form of weakness, and they can't appear weak to their soldiers. Anybody else care to comment? Reverend Ron, you should say something.
Well, you know, I saw something happen one time. I saw a strong woman. I saw a strong woman with a man, okay? And the man cried. He cried because he was being what they would call, he was sharing his emotion with the woman, right? Do you know she listened to him cry? And she turned right around and told her boyfriend, "I'm sick of this weak dude." Now she had been on the panel with other women talking about men don't show emotion. That was her thing. But time her man showed his emotion to her, she turned around and told her boyfriend she's sick of this weak dude. All right, but she had just said on the panel, men don't cry, they don't show emotion, all this kind of stuff. But when the man did show emotion to her, she turned around and told the dude she was cheating with, she's sick of this weak dude. And what you think she did with the other
dude? You know what? That goes on all the time. That goes on all the time. I'm not talking about the cheating aspect, but I'm talking, you know, about the women complaining. And that puts a burden on men. Before you guys got here, I was telling Inez what men need to do is to say, you know what, I'm going to cry, but I'm not going to cry in front of people. And those who don't support me, my friends, my girlfriend, my wife, et cetera, then they got to go. Because if I'm going to cry, that means there's a good reason for it. Okay? I'm not going to cry because I stubbed my toe. I'm going to cry because of some situation that ordinarily does not happen, has happened, and is tearing me apart. And if I'm being torn apart, I don't need to hear in the background some chick going, "Well, I'm sick of this dude," or, "Look, another man crying. He's got a man up." Don't want to hear it, you know. And I don't want to hear my friends who have been conditioned to believe in that, you know, in that myth that men don't cry. I don't want to hear them say anything either, because they have cried and they're just not saying it.
Hey, well, let me tell you what happened. My mother always told me, she said, "Don't cry for me when I pass," but you go to God. She said, "Don't cry." She always told me that. She said, "Because you love me and I'm your mother. I love you. I'm just going to the other world. But don't cry."
Right.
My daddy told me the same thing. Do you know when we had their homegoing service, as hard as I tried to cry, a tear would not come out of my eyes? I literally stood at the top of my mama's head and I couldn't, everybody falling out saying, not a tear fell. I didn't even have a tear in me. I was feeling more sad for the other people that was falling apart. But myself, I couldn't do it because I had rehearsed that she loved me. I loved her. I did what I could do. My father, the same thing happened. Couldn't cry a tear. It wasn't no tear to cry, you know what I mean? I just, even though I wanted to assimilate with the crowd and weep and go on, but it wasn't there. And I had a brother to tell me, he said, "You know, you didn't shed one tear." I said, "Well, I didn't have no reason to shed a tear because we had a happy life together. I never lift my voice above a whisper to my parents. So we had a happy life together. So I didn't have no guilty tears to cry." You know, sometimes emotions can be from guilt, too. It ain't all the time it can be because of the latches or pain. Sometimes it can be for guilt, man, of not doing what you supposed to have done in your lifetime. Sometimes that can happen.
Interesting. Anybody else want to join in? Jump in, comment. And y'all can join me at 845-241-9985. Or you can join me in the chat room or anywhere that you'd like to join me. But go ahead and join us and let's talk about the discussion we're talking about. Men's mental state of mind. Because they need to have an outlet as well. Anybody else care to comment and men shouldn't talk about real stuff with friends? Pastor John? Okay. Chris?
Well, I'm here. What was that?
I was wondering if you had anything to say about men, about discussing men shouldn't talk about real stuff with friends.
Well, here's the thing. So you have a friend or an acquaintance. You know, they say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is I was told when I was a child that I would not find five people that would have my back 100%, 365 days a year, 360 degrees around.
Okay.
And I ain't found them yet. I'm 52.
Mm.
And I was told when I was a kid I would not find them. I met over a million.
And you haven't found it, huh?
Now you see why 99. Point, that's why 99.99% is scared the hell out of me. It's for a reason.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, that'd be my statement to that, I guess.
I just think that it's ridiculous that men can't show their emotions to me. That's just me. But if you ain't
well, the problem so is, I was going to say Miss Inez.
Go ahead.
The problem, I think, of men not being able to show their emotions. You know, let's just go on that. Let's elaborate that a little further. And we'll say, how do people project their emotions onto others? So if something is not being projected correctly, because, I mean, I just had this situation. I had somebody that was just, like, attacking for no reason on anything and everything that ever would have happened in my life. I'm like, why would I discuss this, right? So I'm sitting there trying to figure out, without saying, why are we having this conversation? I'm like, can we actually talk about today and right now and nothing else so that we can actually be productive and conversate? I said, no more woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's what's going on right now, and let's handle it. Now, that's trying to handle it with some composure, with some
dignity,
showing each other dignity. You know, not being this disrespectful. That's the parts that I don't understand. When people just attack. Now, you know, it gets down to the emotional part. I hope somebody's not crying because somebody's attacking them on being verbal with them and this and that. But I think we're past that point and on to just what do we do when we talk to each other? How can we have a conversation and not be a confrontation? See, that's the problem. Right. You know, everybody's got an opinion, and they're all going to be different.
Exactly.
You know what?
Right.
Does it have to be heard? That's another problem, okay? Some people just have to be heard. Whether it hurts your feelings, whether it don't, how it is, it's more what I say matters, and you're going to hear it, and I don't care. Now, once it's said, you can never take it back, so should it have been said? You know, people shoot off at the mouth without thinking a lot.
And that's I think you know, you definitely have to think before you speak. And but that's the problem. We actually don't, in a lot of ways. We shoot off at the mouth real quick, and we ain't got a clue what we're about to say. We just rip it. It's coming out.
You just let it rip.
We are. We create things. We just let it rip.
Right.
I mean, you're not reading the script, are you? It's not sitting in front of you all dictated out, and you're sitting there giving me what's coming across your mind. It's coming out of your mouth, and it's coming out quick. But the other part is, it's called,
like diarrhea.
We had a conversation. We had a conversation without confrontation, right? And now you have to have control. So if you have control of a conversation, it won't be a confrontation. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, it does.
Don't lose control. And I just showed you all cons. There's a C-O-N there. Everybody thinks I'm being negative. I just showed them to you as being a positive situation.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So let's not look at every convict out there and think that there's a problem. The problem is us thinking that's a problem. So, you know, get convicted about something, but have some conviction. You know, I'm talking to some preachers on the line right now. Get convicted, right? All right?
I want to see
you get convicted and commit. I want to see you commit to something. Not commit a crime. Mm-hmm. Commit 8 hours of time. From 8 to 88, there will be no one else that couldn't eat. And everyone will have a seat at the table. Come on now. Spread a word. You want to go to church and do something? Go do that and tell me who in your church said yes. Come back to me on the next call and say, this many people said, I commit. I don't need the names right now. I just need to know how to get a hold of them. 8 to 88. We can end hunger and homelessness in the next 8 months if we do these seven things. Let's set it off. I want to say, I heard, is it Ephesians or Ezekiel? There's something that is stated about seven things, and the eighth could be such, the earth could have so many tremendous disasters over this eighth thing. I'll have to find the verse. I just had it said to me the other day, but it was after what I said. I said, if every person from 8 to 88, you all have a purpose, you don't have to leave your house. Just commit 8 hours to this one thing, and we will end it. There will be no more problems. We will have food. You'll have a home. This is it. Let's go. What are you going to do? You know, now,
let's
can people commit to 8 hours? You know?
That's 8 hours right there.
You know, 8 hours. Not 8 days, over the next 8 months. So I'm saying like 20 seconds a day will you commit over the next 8 months. It ain't even that much, I don't think. So it's probably less. I ain't done the math. I'm going to have to do the math, and I'm going to come back to you and it's probably going to be less. And you're like, what? You mean I only got to do 6 seconds a day? Come on. Now I can do that. Seriously, people. We got to come together. We got to figure this out. Something's got to change. I mean, you know, it could be 60 seconds. I don't know. But if you've done a minute a day, how many days you got? We got what?
But it depends on the length.
You know, I don't know, a minute or two. Think of somebody besides you. What else is there? You know, a penny a day will take the homeless problem away. Get your pennies out. What are we talking about?
Make that
change. You know, that's what I like about this show. What's this show? You know, let's talk about it. I'll bring up some topics. I mean, this is my mental issue. I've been doing this 18 years, and people won't get a clue. You tell me. Where's the problem? Is it coming out of me? I'm laying the seed. Is it taking root in you? It should. You know what I mean? It's a gift. It wasn't. I'm not asking for a thing. Other than you to commit a little bit of your time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And
I ain't asked for a dollar.
Much.
Ain't nobody ever heard me cash out nothing, ask nothing on a radio show yet. Nobody. I tell you, I am a charity. I'm tax deductible. I don't ask for money. This ain't my place. This is her show. You want to support something, you send her money. Because without her giving me this platform to be able to speak like this, this is priceless right here.
Thank you.
She's priceless. You know, just for having a topic to talk about anything and everything. I appreciate all of you for coming on here and doing it. And here I am just ripping along, so let's all talk about it.
Let's talk about it, huh? Welcome, SARS. If you want to join us at 845-241-9985, you know you're welcome. We're talking about men's mental state of mind. So we're talking about men shouldn't talk about real stuff with their friends. That's the topic that we're on at the moment, or the subject, I should say. So if you want to chime in, please do so. You know the number. 845-241-9985. Anybody can jump in, join in. Let's talk about it. This is you guys' month. It's men's month. This is what I'm dedicating to y'all this month, men's month. So it's Father's Day, and men don't get to just do that they're due. They get walked on, spit on, you know, boo-booed on and everything else. So I hope to at least give them a chance to talk about some of the things that are bothering them, that are really, eating at them. So we talked about men don't cry, or shouldn't cry, couldn't cry, shouldn't be able to cry, but they should be able to cry. They really should be able to cry. So anybody else want to talk about anything? Not anything, but comment on this. Men shouldn't talk about real stuff with their friends. Y'all gonna get quiet on me now. Let's talk about it. Okay.
I don't want to turn around and start talking again. You know me, I'll get on. I'd definitely rather have a gentleman involved.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Don, right. You have something to say?
I surely do. Whatever, Chris. I see you moving in the building, and my daughter was here, but she's not here anymore. And one thing I want to say is we have to be aware there's more people out there listening to us than we can see. And when you're speaking, it's 1,000 people that's listening. So as you omit this energy, people are hearing the energy. So if you put it out there and people are talking about it, it's real. And this is the reality we live in. It's real time. You can't make this up. You can't post it on social media. This is happening right now. So I thank you for bringing up this topic. I thank you, Mr. Chris, and I thank you all the callers that called in. Everybody got a text message. Thank you for calling in. On that note, I'm landing my point.
You're landing, okay. You don't have to land. All right. The next one is, real men don't ask for help. Men are taught at a young age to tough it out when they get hurt. When they get older, they're told to fight back or man up. And I'm going to have a topic on man up one day this month. When they get bullied, this ingrains the belief. Okay, hold on. This ingrains that belief that if they want to be seen as manly, they won't ask for help even when they feel like they need it. For men, the consequences are more far-reaching than simply not getting the help they need. When help seems out of reach, people tend to resort to other methods of coping, trying to self-medicate to escape issues caused by mental health is a potential path to starting to drug abuse and alcohol, which compounds the issue instead of solving it. This also suggests that the actual number of men experiencing mental health problems are far less than what the numbers show. Y'all need to be stand up, man up, and be heard, okay? There's likely an entire population of men hiding their struggles with mental health from public disclosure. I'm going to start with Joe first. You got something to say, Joe? Because I know you do.
Well, I would imagine there's a lot of men going into the definition. I've heard from other people at times is that men are experiencing mental health problems. I don't think anybody would have a mental health problem if they had good friends who knew how to accept them and their problems as being part of human life. Everybody has problems. Nobody's going to walk from fire unscathed. People are going to feel hurt. Some situations are going to feel as though people, their friends, their family, have betrayed them. But when I think a man has a real mental problem, it's because he feels he doesn't have a problem, a solution, rather, to the problem. And or he doesn't feel that there are friends or family members of his who are listening to him. As somebody was saying about half an hour ago, people want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's it in most situations. Just hear me out. Let me tell you what's bothering me, and that'll be the end of it, and I'll take care of it. Because we as men, we're conditioned to take care of problems. But we want somebody to hear us. Hear me out.
Right.
Don't look at me like I've got two heads on my shoulder. And then I'll move on. I'll take care of it from there. So that's my comment.
Okay. Pass it on.
I'm on mute. Please excuse me. Can you hear me? I was on mute.
Yes, I can
hear
you
now.
That's fine. Yes.
I'm definitely 100% with the topic, and I wouldn't say this. Most people don't want to talk about the elephant in the room. I'm a guy who brings the elephant in the room out, and it is more than just men. It's us as a whole, as a society, that's creating the issue, because it's not only what we feel, it's what other people think, and that's what determines our actual perception on what actually is happening. Hopefully, I'm not losing nobody, but yeah, that's what I'm on. The perception of reality is real when we see the result. The perception of reality is real once we see the result. That's my personal feeling. On that note, I ran my plan.
Okay, personal feeling. Okay, Reverend Ron, real men don't ask for help. Are you on mute? You may be on another line. Chris? Come off of mute.
Well, yeah, I'm here.
You getting you some cheese bread again?
No, my wife has asthma and COPD, and she was coughing, so I wasn't wanting to unmic at that point. But yeah, I didn't want anything for those sitting there, not being here with you. So it was men don't want to ask for help. I'll tell you what.
Real men don't ask for help. Mm-hmm.
Here it is. I'm a real man, okay, and I need help. And I'll ask women for it. I'll ask children for it. I'll ask every man out there for it. So I need your help, and I'm asking for it. So I'm going to answer that one for you. A real man will ask for help if he needs it, because I need it. And we all need it, and it'll be a better place when we all get it.
Okay. Reverend Ron, you out there, or are you answering other questions? Okay. So, in my eye, my women's eye, real men should be able to ask for help and not be boo-booed on, I guess you want to call it, you know, as we keep on talking about it, you know. They always get the short end of the stick, because if you ask for help, you know, you're not real. You're not a man. Men have all the answers. No, they don't. They make people think that men do, but they don't. People think that women have a lot of answers, and they don't. I go to Google in a heartbeat. You all know I will. So, hey, hang on. Let me Google it. Let me find out. Or let me go and ask somebody, or somebody in the background will text me, hey, this is what you're looking for. So I'm not ashamed to ask for help because I don't know everything. And if there are real men out there who know everything, please introduce them to me. Please, I would like to know all these men who know everything, you know. And I just don't feel like they should be ashamed. Ask for help. I'm not saying show your weaknesses, but ask for help, because when you ask for help, that shows other people that, yeah, okay, he asked for help. Why can't I ask for help? That's manning up to me, because when other people see you ask for help, like young boys, you know, I don't need no help. I got this handle. I don't need no go nobody. I'm a man. I can handle this on my own. Quit lying to yourself. Quit lying to yourself and get out there and ask for help, because that way you can get help from somebody else. You can probably help somebody else, and you will find out that there are other people out there who are like you. So that's my plane. I'm landing it now. Anybody else care to comment?
No, I like it. Yeah, I do. I doubt if there's been anybody ever since the existence of the planet who, once they become successful, did it completely on their own.
Right.
I'm sure maybe there's one or two, maybe who have, but 99.9% of the people who have become successful did it by asking for help, asking for additional instructions, additional information,
right,
and going out of the way to obtain it. Now, there's a saying in the marketing community that, and it goes like this: you are going to fail your way to success, which I'm sure people can extrapolate from that particular phrase what it means. It means you're never going to get to success, you know, the first time around. You're going to fail. Succeed, succeed, fail, fail, succeed, 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 fail, 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 succeed, succeed, succeed. As long as the trajectory is going up and you learn from your mistakes, you're doing the right thing. So people need help when they fail, and unless they're the Lone Ranger, and if they can do it all by themselves, then God bless them. But most of the time, people need help to go up and achieve.
Right.
I'm done.
You're landing your plane. So, what was I going to say? So, I mean, like, look at Elon Musk. Did he get to his place by not asking for help? I'm sure he needed somebody. He had to have somebody help him create the SpaceX and everything else, and the Tesla and everything else. He's not God, so he had to help ask somebody to help. So you all just, you know, fall in line, get in place, ask for help, because you asking for help will lead to other questions, and that will open up dialogue for other people to maybe say, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. So don't be afraid to ask for help, my friend, my man, okay? Be susceptible to help. Okay? All right. All right, fellas. You good in the hood? I think Reverend Ron is probably on another call. Reverend Ron, you out there? Okay. Okay, Joe dropped off. Okay. Men don't suffer from certain conditions. These stereotypes ensure that men are marginalized in discussions about mental health conditions, but some men have it even worse. There are several mental health disorders that are seen as women conditions, postpartum depression, certain phobias and eating disorders are a few that are subject to this belief. But the reality is that while some of these conditions are more likely to affect women than men, it doesn't mean that they are exclusively affect one gender and not the other. New fathers are also at risk for postpartum depression. If you don't know what it is, I'll let you know. Teens who mature more slowly and men who are less physically masculine can experience severe mental and emotional complications as a result of not meeting a standard of the ideal male body. Eating disorders also affect men. The Binge Eating Disorder Association, I didn't even know they had an association, estimates that 40% of people who struggle with BED are men, and that's from Psychology Today. So, how many of y'all know what postpartum depression is? Raise your hand if you know.
I know exactly what it is, and that's when a woman is having depression after she has a baby. Not before she has a baby, after she has a baby. And not only is real, I got kids. I don't know if you're in the background, but I understand that totally. On that note, I'm going to let you have your show back, but I can talk about that for hours. I know you hear my baby,
okay.
Yelling, so I got to go back and come on now.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? I love when Pastor Don has it, because I know he's being a father. You know, he always doesn't always have his children, but he has his children quite often. So I'm sure he's probably experienced postpartum depression. And sometimes, who doesn't know what postpartum depression is? Chris, you know what it is?
What was the question?
Do you know what postpartum depression is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, and a lot of times women disguise that they have this, I'll say, issue or this concern. And, you know, they let it go, and it's not good. And men, you know, after women have babies, they experience the same thing. And when women are pregnant, men seem to blossom in the belly area a lot of times as well. They get pregnant just along with their women. So, men, don't be ashamed of these things that go on. You know, you are not the only one who has experienced them. You are not going to be the only one who has experienced them. If you need to, at this number, if you need help, at this number, 844-423-3204, you can call for assistance on these different, what do you want to call it, situations, phobias, or what have you. And that's FE Health. And then the number again is 844-423-3204. You know, I'm all about helping people because, hey, I know I don't have all the answers, but I will surely, in less than a heartbeat, try to find the answer for you all if you need it. You know me. I'm all about trying to find answers because, as we say, let's talk about it. Do we talk about it? No, we don't talk about it enough. And I believe we have Pastor Ron who just joined us. Is that you, Pastor Ron, who just joined us?
Yes.
Reverend
good
Ronnie Jones. Good evening. How you
yes.
doing, fine,
yes,
sir?
I'm blessed. I'm here. I see a new day.
Yes. So,
I don't know really what the topic was about, as I'm just getting in from work, and shout out to Pastor Don Green Jr.
Yes. He's on the line with his children in the background. But we're discussing men's mental state of mind. men's mental health, basically. And we've been talking about a lot of things, actually, that don't get discussed by men. Talk about men. They don't cry. Men, let's see what else we have. Men, real men don't ask for help. Men shouldn't talk about real stuff with their friends. We say, yeah, you should. And, you know, all these other things that, as I want to bring you up to speed, that men more than women commit suicide. What's the percentage? 70% of men commit suicide over women. So, excuse me?
Yeah, my uncle was he committed suicide when I was a child.
Okay.
And
okay.
He lost his job and his wife left him and he ended his life, you know. So I can tell you up close and personal that a broken heart is the hardest thing to mend, especially when you want to be a provider for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely, as men, we just have to keep God first when it comes to the household. Whether you sink, sail, or fall, you got to know that God is the reason why you're still here and that you're made in his likeness and in his image. And we can't let the things of this world be the cause of our lives ending. We're supposed to be of this world. You know, we're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world.
Of the world. Correct. Correct. And that's one hard thing to do a lot of times because we are so into the world, you know, and we let other things take over our world. You know, we got social media. We got people who take over our lives. We got our jobs who take over our lives. We have our friends who take over our lives. We have technology who takes over our lives. We have to take our lives back. Sorry to hear that, you know, that's happened, but it's like, you know, a lot of people, as we're talking about it, we don't want men to feel like they're weak if they cry. We don't want men to feel like they can't talk to their friends about things. We talked about barbershops, you know, being at the barbershop and talking about things.
I would definitely tell anyone I know, you know, get some help. And real men do cry. If somebody step on your toe hard enough, you're going to say, ouch. And
right.
You got to put God first. You got to put God first. It's not a thing whereas you're trying to be tough by tradition out here. Because there's also a such thing as traditional curses. You know.
Okay.
So
and generational curses as well.
Stand firm and steadfast in the word of God. And God's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to show you how to make it through and how to get to the next level.
Right. Exactly. That's true. God will make a way for us. You know, you got to ask him. You got to go to him and you got to ask him. You can't just be sitting there, you know, and doing the silent treatment thinking that, okay, I'm still here waiting for you to ask. You have not because you ask not. You know, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. So once you open your mouth and get fed, shoot, you can feed other people, you know, and talk about your situation or a situation. But, you know, we need to help each other. We need to stop feeling like we are alone out here. We are not alone. We aren't alone. As they say, we're not alone on this planet. Well, we know that. But we have to reach out to our friends, you know, and don't feel like they're going to judge us. If they judge us, then they're not your friend. You know, if you can't, you know, and we talked about, Reverend Ron said, you know, talking about, you know, crying and what have you. He said, you cry to God and not to your friends. You know,
that's right.
That's good.
He's right.
And that's true. But sometimes people haven't got to that position. So who else are they going to cry to if they don't know God? You follow me? You know, and
that's right. That's when you seek a psychiatrist or some type of help, to whereas you can be able to get yourself to that state to where you can let go of
right.
the pain. I mean, you cry out for God, he's going to make sure it comes out you because he's cleansing you.
Right, right.
So
but those tears and what have you.
When you don't know the Lord,
seek
some type of professional medical help.
Right, right.
You got
to
know that your life is important. You got to know that there's a reason that you're here, you know. And, you know, don't let anything oppress you, depress you to the point to where as you can't survive, breathe, or function out here in the world. I know it's hard to say when you're going through it, but you gotta just believe that you haven't came this far and God ain't brought you this far to bring you down or just let you go. You gotta know that there's a reason why you're still here and you're still standing.
Right, right, right. And we have Dr. Monica Y. Jackson on the line, and she's going to be so happy to like. Okay. And she's the author of Wounds of Wisdom, and I have a book. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to bring her on the line, and you know, you could talk to her. You could, you know, if you have any questions or anything, because she's a really, 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 really big advocate for mental health. And like I said, she's got this book out, but I'm going to let her introduce herself, and we'll go from there. And she also has a summit that's coming up, so I have it in my announcements, but being that she's on the line, she can also talk about the summit if any of the men want to be a speaker. Go ahead, Dr. Monica.
Good evening, Miss Inez, and your guest.
Good evening.
How are you this evening?
Good.
I'm going to just be on just for a little while because I know you texted me and I wanted to make sure that I called in. But, I just wanted to let people know that when you are going through your pain, when you're suffering with your wound, don't hold it in. Speak out. Get it out. And it's so freeing and so cleansing to get it out. If you don't get it out, you're holding it in, causing yourself dis-ease and diseases. And when you feel like you're the only one that's going through it, you will never know if you keep silent. And it's so important to speak up. The more you speak, the more you find that there are other people who have experienced what you have experienced. You won't be embarrassed by it anymore. And, you know, there are things that come up in life that will shake you. And sometimes they shake you and rock you so quickly and so unexpectedly that you react. And if you can just stop and breathe just for a second before reacting, before responding to whatever the hurts are, the pain. And when you're dealing with mental illness, that goes a lot deeper because a lot of us don't understand mental illness. We don't know how to respond to that. And so it's very easy to tell somebody how to respond, but unless you are in their shoes, in that experience, all you can do is be there for them and allow them
right.
to speak.
Right.
They're not looking for you to solve their problems. They just need to get this out and not to be ridiculed or told how they should respond, how they should feel, how they shouldn't feel. Because when you do that, it's almost you're judging them. You're telling them that their feelings don't matter. You're telling them that, you know, even something as simple as this too shall pass. Well, guess what? Mm. What if it doesn't pass? What if it doesn't pass? What if it takes longer to pass? So we have to be careful with what we say. Yeah, it may pass for us, but, you know, and it's so easy for us to say something. And I really have to guard myself in saying things because just because that's the way I feel or I receive it doesn't mean someone else is. So we have to be careful with that and allow people to be, give them space where they will be okay with speaking their truth and being authentic. And speaking of the summit, the M4 Summit is the Men Message Mission, Men with a Message on a Mission, Creating a Movement. And this is where men are speaking their truth, speaking about the trials, the pain that they've gone through, that society has inflicted on them, the unrealistic expectations, the generationally, relationally, religiously passed down of what a man should be when they're suffering in silence. And we have to give them a safe space for them to show their emotions, to release their emotions. And the summit is specifically for that, because the last summit was the T4 Summit, Trials, Triumphs, Truth, and Tears. And the men opened up so much that I just had this vision to have one with all men speakers, because they felt so comfortable with speaking their truth. They thought about said how therapeutic it was. So I just encourage men to go over to drmonicajackson.com/M4Summit. I believe we have 4 more speaker spaces that are available. And if by chance we have more speakers than I can accommodate for this summit, we're going to open it up for another week and have a summit with the additional speakers. Because if men want to speak, then I feel that I need to give them the platform and the opportunity to do so. So I just wanted to come on and share that.
And that is September the 22nd through the 24th. And if you didn't catch that, I have that information. And if anybody's interested in that, I can email that out to you all as well. So that you will have that to contact Dr. Monica Jackson so that you can be a speaker. I know Chris would be a wonderful speaker. Reverend Ron would be a wonderful speaker. Reverend Ronnie would be a wonderful speaker. Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the Winning Team 302 would be a wonderful speaker. So everybody on this line, as well as William J., the original guidance, would also be a good speaker. So any man that comes on my show, to me, would be a wonderful speaker for her summit.
So how come you left my name out?
Because you wouldn't be good. You'd be cussing all the time. We're not having no cussing.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Those are these excuses. Okay.
Joe, you.
All right. Leave me out. No, that's okay.
I'm not leaving you out, because I know you're going to speak up anyway. So if you have something to say, you're going to say, hey. But you're that type of person.
Yeah, I just
wanted
to ask the doctor if the summit is going to be a virtual summit, or is it going to be where you have to drive to and show up in person?
No, it's a virtual summit. It's a virtual summit.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty.
And
you see how Inez
treats me? It's totally about authenticity. Totally authenticity. Not about your image is, your pride. Put all that aside. It's raw, real truth. What you feel, what you've gone through. And I'm going to go through a dead zone, so I have maybe a few more seconds that I can speak.
Okay.
And then I'm not, my phone is going to cut off.
All right.
But
and then, like I said, I can give everybody that information if anybody's interested in it as well. And it was part of one of my announcements as well. But thank you, Dr. Monica, for joining us for the few moments that you did to at least let the men know that they are real men and they have the ability to reach out, and that they should let the tears fall, because if you don't, like I said earlier in the show, if you don't let it out, you will get sick. It causes cancer, it causes diseases, it causes stress, it causes heartaches, it causes all kinds of things. So men, please let out your emotions, let out your personal and emotional issues, because you need to. It's not fair. It is not fair that you don't do these things, because that's what takes a lot of the men away, is them not expressing themselves. As Reverend Ronnie Jones was saying, that, you know, hey, Brad took his, you know, took his life, and thank you for letting us know that men do take their lives, because some people just say, oh, that's, you know, you hear about it, but until you hear about it from somebody who has experienced it, it's a total different experience. You can feel the pain that that person is going through. So I want to thank each and every one of y'all for speaking and talking about men's issues, because a lot of times you guys don't. You guys get the hush. You guys get that finger to the mouth, like, shh, don't talk about it. No, you can't do it. But no, you need to. You need to, as I say, get it off your chest. And that is a weight that is taken off of your chest, and you're allowed to speak about it and be more of a man, because you have more, stability to feel better, where you can help other young folks, other older folks, just other folks, period, it be men or women, when you speak about what is bothering you, what's your issue. Because men, I'm landing my plane. Anybody else have anything to talk about on what Dr. Monica was saying? So if y'all want that information, I'd be more than happy to give it out. But Joe, I was messing with you. You know you're more than
I know.
Be anywhere and go anywhere. As long as I'm there or kind of there, you're welcome to be there as well. So anybody else want to say anything? You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like she said, it is virtual, so you could be at home, you know, and be a speaker. You could be across the seas and be a speaker. You can be in another country and be a speaker. So it's just not limited to the United States or Canada. So if anybody out there who is listening in the worldwide listening audience wants to be on her virtual summit, please contact her at drmonicajackson.com/ M4 Summit. That's M4 Summit, for Men 4 Summit. So please contact her. As she says, they have 4 spots. There's Men, Message, Mission, and Movement. It's a virtual summit, and that's September the 22nd through the 24th. And like she said, she has 4 spots available. So registration opens up next week. It opens up next week. Go ahead.
I hope she has a full plate, because something like this is extremely important for men to realize that it is okay to open up, to feel pain, to express your pain, and to realize that there are other men around the world who feel the same way as you do. You're not all by yourself. So I hope she gets I hope she gets all filled up.
And I believe she would, because her last summit was a real big hit. And like she said, that's what made her open up this one. And that's why, that's not why I have this platform, but this platform is also open to the men. You know, if you have a topic that you want to discuss tonight, you know, it's just because I have something to discuss doesn't mean we have to stick to that topic. I want you all to open up. And if you have something you want to discuss, please let me know. I'm just, you know, going off. And, of course, I try to have something to discuss for the evenings that I have my shows, but that doesn't mean we have to stay on that topic. So
I like to put in a plug.
Oh, go ahead.
As you know, I started my show about 3 weeks ago. Tomorrow is going to be the fourth show. It's going to be about relationship counselors. Are they for real or are they charlatans? So I'm going to be talking about that. And then, of course, we'll be talking about relationships as you do on your shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I wanted to let people know that Joe from Montana has that particular show tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That would have fallen under announcements, and it's not announcements time, sir. So that your plug is not sticking. No, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, announcement plug, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. But,
you know, I am going to talk on the Doctor's Summit, and I'm going to talk about a certain hostess who gets a kick out of threatening to mute a certain person on her show. That's what I'm going to talk about.
That's fine.
Wow.
I'm going to talk to her.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's just clowning. He's not for real.
I'm not even going to mention names. They don't know who it is.
And you hear my kids are in the background. I try to come out with you real quick. You hear me?
No, seriously, fellas. I mean, the floor is open for you all to talk about. If you have something that you want to talk about this evening, please let me know. And, you know, that's more than, you know, you're more than welcome to talk about it. But I'm going to
all right,
continue.
That, can I jump in the water? You said, we got something to talk about. I got to say it. Father's Day is coming up, and there's a lot of people who's been in the situation. They're going through bad relationships, all that. I want to give a salute out to all the fathers out there who deal with 5,000 things and still making it happen. And I apologize, Ms. Inez, but our fathers never get they just flowers. They die, and then once they dead, everybody show up at their funeral talking about everything they did, but why they was alive. Don't nobody want to talk about that. And that's the elephant in the room. Can we talk about the fathers who actually making it happen no matter what? And that, I'm going to know, I'm going to have my point.
You want to talk about that
you
now? You want to talk about that on Father's Day? Excuse me?
No. I want
to talk about that now?
Father's Day. I don't want to wait till Father's Day. I want to give people their father while they're here. If you understand my voice, I appreciate you. I'm a real father. I don't know if you hear the kids in the background. I'm a real father, and I got to step outside because no matter what goes on, I'm not going to stop. But, again, I'll be doing radio shows, making bottles, all that. And no matter how much I'm doing and how I'm doing it, I don't let nothing stop me. And I'm happy that everybody's on the sound of my voice tonight. I'm happy y'all are in the year of Michael Jordan. This is not a regular year. This is a year of change. This is a year of prosperity. This is your year. If you haven't walked in your year yet, I'm giving you the energy to go. Pick up whatever you about to plant on Plymouth Rock because, hey, it's not going to come again. There's only one opportunity, one chance to make a change. If you don't change now, it will never happen. And on that note, I land my point.
As a matter of fact, I usually do a tribute to fathers. And if you want to, you can always go back to last year's Father's Day. And I have a tribute out there for fathers. So I do tributes to fathers. So, because, hey, you can make a child, but it still takes two to make that child. The mama just didn't make the child, but, you know, with this day and age, they're getting ready to just do test tube babies, and you don't need to have the joy of making a baby anymore. You could just, you know, plant your seed and put it out there and be done. But if anybody cares, they can go to last year's Father's Day, and I always have a tribute to Father's Day, so I'll probably just say, Father's Day is what, second Sunday? Is it this Sunday? Oh, it's not this Sunday, is it?
No, it's not this Sunday, Mama. It's coming, though. It is coming.
Okay.
It's coming.
Okay. It's the third
Come
Sunday?
On now. Yes,
it's
ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly when it is.
The 18th. Okay.
I'm not hating it. I want everybody to congratulate everybody on what they're doing. I'm trying to insinuate on what everybody's saying, and no matter what, we have to go ahead and talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, how can we make a change? And we don't, let's do a radio, so let's do it, and let's talk about it, let's change the world.
Let's talk about it. Hey, as a matter of fact, the song that I had was The Man in the Mirror, was the opening song, you know, Make the Change, because I want you all to make a change. You know, that was the opening song today. So, you know, we have to start somewhere. And if we have to start with these few men that are here in the winning team 302, that's fine. But we got to.
Oh, you good. Oh, my God, you the best. Hey, baby, you're good. You include my daughter. Hey. I got this old link. I had to email it. As soon as I heard it, I was like, I'm going to email me this link. Because that's the first show. And you, you were the person who woke my daughter in the radio. 30 years from now, when I say that, I told you, you'd be like, wow. Oh, I didn't know it was serious. Yes, this is very serious. It happened live on your radio show. Thank you.
30 years from now, I'll be 95 years old, child. So I'm still going to be here.
No. You got this radio blog talking. I got to tell everybody out there in radio, and if you don't understand how powerful this radio show is, you might be live listening now, but everybody can download, record, replay, rebroadcast, and that's what we live in, on-demand society, internet technology. Mm-hmm. That's what nanobots is, what AI is about. If you don't understand how powerful your voice is on this radio network, you're wasting your time, period. And on that note, I'm going to land my plane.
Okay. But see, and that's just,
glad you brought up the fact about downloads, because there's one thing that people don't know, which I found out by accident, and that the downloads don't last forever. They only last for about a maximum of 2 years now. So whoever wants downloads of any particular shows, they better download them now and not forget about it.
Okay.
Because in 2 years' time, the show is not going to exist. The title will exist. It will show up on Blog Talk Radio's page. But when you try to download the show as you would ordinarily download a show, you won't be able to. So it's not on this service after 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So, he is 100% right.
Okay, so
I would advise you, Inez, to download all your shows yourself.
That's what I'm saying. So if I put them on like YouTube or whatever, is that a good place to put it?
No,
I don't know how long YouTube has them. I don't know.
Ain't the same stuff. Like Blog Talk Radio has 5 million subscribers, and they are actually active. And these people spend their money. I noticed. I'm telling you, he's right. The link expires, but again, by you being on this platform, calling to the radio show, get recorded. If you're not recorded, you can't be rewarded in history, and that's it.
Okay,
what I would suggest,
Inez,
if you have a web, first off, you don't need a website. Just download all your shows onto your server on your computer. Well, then you have...
Probably have to get an external drive.
I don't know. How many years have you been around?
I've been around for 65 years, but as far as Blog Talk Radio...
No, not you. not you.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Okay.
God.
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm okay. I'm part of you. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no,
you asked the question.
Yeah,
I sure did, didn't I?
I think with my friend Sharon, I think they've been around, let me see, this is three, I think at least 5 years, maybe. I think at least five years.
You've had your show on for about 5 days out of the week. That's 250 a year times five, 1,250 downloads. I've got more than that on my server, and I got a terabyte worth of hard drive space. So hopefully you don't have a terabyte. Okay, if you have, then maybe
I have a website
and put it on there.
A website. Let's do a radio website. I don't have a Let's Do a Radio. I have a Let's Do a Radio Gmail, but I don't have a website.
Well, if you create a website and if you broadcast from there, maybe they'll be able, and if you transfer your shows to that website, their servers might hold them for you until you get space.
Okay. We'll have to talk about
Inez, I will never have another radio show where you say you ain't got no website. We got to talk about the show, period. No. I've heard a lot of people here, you got to have a website. I design websites, so I know how to make it happen. So
You got to call
me. Oh, okay there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about
after
the show, because I'll be so...
Come on, come on now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I have
do what
a
you
website,
do,
so
but...
that's not hard. That's not hard, but I know, because we can do it on what, GoDaddy, blah, 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 so it's not hard. I just don't have a website
WordPress.
For just...
You need a WordPress who? Website. WordPress.
Is that
comes
like
up on Google?
Yeah, WordPress, yeah.
Yeah, WordPress,
WordPress gives you
is very good.
Good site.
You can do it yourself.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
right. It's free, and you can do it yourself. And if you hook up with
okay.
GoDaddy or one of the other hosts, then you can ask them
mm-hmm.
how big the server is, and then bam,
mm-hmm.
just transfer over to that site.
I mean, because
I'm not
I
telling you nothing that's not real. It's real. It's Let's Do
oh,
It Radio.
No, no, no,
you got to
no.
do it.
No, and that's fine because I do have a website because I got my other website, my design website, but I've had that for a while and somebody else created that. Well, I know I'm kind of...
Yeah, but I think the pastor and myself, we're talking about a website dedicated to your
right.
to your radio show.
Correct. 100%.
Okay,
and I don't want you on GeoCities and one of these other off-brand companies. I want you with your own branding, your own situation, so when you drive all the traffic... They know it's Miss Inez that sells.
That's right.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the analytics will actually be accurate. If you,
yes.
I don't know. I think they still have the definition of what a download is. And on BTR, do you know what a download is? To 99% of the people hearing that, they would think, well, shit, that's easy. You just download the show. Do you know what a download is to BTR? Somebody
I know,
passing
I'm
by
not...
your show. And staying on your show for 30 seconds. They don't even have to call in. Just
right.
driving by.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not a download. They call it a download, but it's not.
mm-hmm.
I got you, Miss Inez. I'm not going to take over your radio space. I know this is perfect, but, hey, you my girl. I'm going to make sure you get a real website. I don't want to have a cheesy website. I want to have a real website where people can spend their money and say, ooh, I feel good about spending money with Miss Inez. I don't want you to have a
okay.
website that people are like, oh,
okay.
where's the garbage they brought me to? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
We don't do
Pastor.
Excuse me.
Pastor.
We don't have
don't make job. It, don't design it too well, because that you will mute me.
Mm. I will find
I
a way to
Miss
cut you off.
I know that.
Okay.
Thank you for not cutting my daughter off. And I appreciate that. And I'm so glad. Man, that's the first show, and I got to beat you once you get out there, but I got to beat you because you broke my daughter in, and I got to have a very strong conversation like, this means a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome.
On that note, I'm landing on a plane. No, it means
and
a lot
And you know
to
what?
Me.
What?
Oh.
One day we may even have a children's show. You know, we may have a children's show, so don't be, you know,
oh.
don't think that we're not.
Damn. Ooh.
Hello.
Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry.
Watch.
I'm going on mute. Wow. You, ooh. I'm going on mute. Yeah. Ooh. That, ooh. I'm going on mute. Yeah, that's all.
Bye,
mean.
Felicia. Go hurt her. Bye, Felicia.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right. I'm going on mute.
Okay. Okay. So, fellas that are still with me, you know, we're still here. We're still...
Yeah.
I don't know if Reverend Ron is still here or not. Let me see.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I'm here.
Okay. Cool. So this next little subtopic is, how can we remove the stigma? It's clear that these stereotypes are harmful. They contribute to the barriers that exist between men and getting the help they need. So don't be afraid to get the help, as Dr. Monica was saying. These barriers can create an environment where even bringing up the topic of men's mental health is stigmatized. Men fear being judged or even feel they may be in danger if they admit what they see as a weakness, even when it bars them from resources that can improve their lives. The primary way that we as a society can fight these damaging perceptions is by starting public discussions, and that's what we're having this evening, about men's
right.
mental health as a way to refute the stereotypes. As a more high-profile celebrities, athletes, and public figures share their stories, more people will listen. But we don't have to start with them. Other people, we can start with little low-grade folks like us, everyday people, because everyday people have everyday friends, and everyday friends, you know, go, what, 6 degrees of separation, and that can bring in other people. So men and boys need role models who will tell them when it's all right to look to friends and family members for support. It's all right to not be able to handle something alone. And most importantly, it's all right to seek treatment for mental health disorders. Okay? So, y'all want to talk about it? How can we remove the stigma? Let's talk about it.
Well,
who wants to go first? I knew what was wrong with. Go ahead.
Well, to remove a stigma, then there has to be change from habits and patterns of culture habits. You know what I mean? To remove the stigma, there has to be change from habit and culture habits, okay? Because if people go into a deep thrust repeating themselves, they'll continuously do the same thing. So people should not look for people in the same condition they are in to help them change the condition. You need to find someone that's in another kind of position that have made some strides and have done some things to give you the pathways in which they have taken to better your condition. Now, you all know that I'm a minister, so I recommend everybody, if you don't know God, get to know God. That's the beginning of change. Now, a lot of people talking about the AI intelligence, right? The AI, right? Artificial intelligence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Artificial intelligence of the earth is data that's been processed on your life already into a machine. That's why the machine can tell you about you, because data has already been processed in the machine system to tell you about yourself. And the amazing part and the shocking part is that you think that the machine know about you automatically, which it does, and that's through the data that's been processed through the system. Okay?
Okay.
That's why the robot can say, you're Miss Inez, you're blah, 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 you're blah, 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 because it's been programmed through the processing of data of the system for the robots to know what you are and what you're about. Okay? So when men repeat themselves and everybody has processed them around them as what they present, well, then they're not going to get help that they need. So, and then when men, sometimes when men cry and go on, it's simply because they're crying about the failures that they have suffered in their lives, okay? It ain't all the time about this person left me, this person died. It's about the failing choices that I have made that got me in a situation that I'm in. And I haven't progressed.
Okay?
I haven't progressed.
Okay.
So when you ain't progress in your life because of your choices you have made, well, then it'll make you cry. Anybody got to be undone to you. You know what I mean? You just look around your life and see that you've been wasting time. And have you put yourself in a position where time has passed you by and you haven't accomplished much? That'll make you cry too. You understand what I'm saying? You've been, as some people say, playing the fool. And we all have done it in our lifetime. But when you play it for 20 and 30 years and then keep on with the notion that this is still my life, this is what I want to do because it makes me feel a certain kind of way. Well, if that's the case, ain't no need to run around crying. You gave choice a chance, so you have to live with the residuals of the chance that you gave the choice. Does that make sense? You gave choice a chance. So when you give choice a chance, if chance that you gave choice is a waste, then you ain't got nothing to cry about.
Because the Bible says, why condemn thyself in the things in which you allow? If you allow it, then you shouldn't take condemnation from nobody, nor should you condemn yourself. But what you should do is, with the same energy that you're going to repeat yourself in the habit, forget the habit and move forward. And I know a lot of people say, mm-hmm. well, it ain't that easy. Easier said than done. It's just as easy to stop what you're doing as it is to do it.
Right. They don't want to stop is the thing.
It's just as easy for you to mm-hmm. stop what you're doing that's ruining your life. Mm-hmm. It's just as easy for you to stop as it is for you to move on.
Well, right. Sounds like I'm going to disagree with the Reverend again tonight.
Go ahead on.
Okay.
It's discussion.
You're talking about if people seek other people who are suffering, let's say, from the same mental illness or the same disease or the same condition or have the same kind of feelings, that by associating with them, that's not going to be very helpful. That goes against the grain of Alcoholics Anonymous and some of the other anonymous groups that want people who are of the same type, same situation, have the same problems, to come together and talk about it so that they'll know that there will be other people in that room who won't be judgmental and who can learn from the from everybody's experiences. Now, I don't know, but I think that Alcoholics Anonymous has a pretty good record of helping people talk about alcoholism. I think there's other drug anonymous groups that have the same type of protocol, and I don't know if they're successful or not. But I'm going to disagree with you, Reverend. I'm going to think that, yeah, you can go to somebody who can help you and isn't going to cry, maybe is not familiar with your situation, but that person has to have a good grounding and know how to show the way regardless. I personally would want to go to somebody, you know, it's like, how would you like to go to a doctor who's supposedly well-known for helping you lose weight, and then when you get there, the guy's about 200 pounds, right? 5 foot five and 200 pounds. So, you know, you want to go to somebody who's actually done it, who's been there, felt that, conquered. And I think people who can empathize, be there, experience the same experiences you've had, are better at it than people who have not had the experience. So that's me. I landed my plane. I landed my plane. I like I yield. I don't know which one I like better yet.
If you notice, Joe, and everybody, I was speaking to the point of people who participate in choices that they gave a chance to. Now, if somebody is mental ill, a mental ill person, really mental ill person, and has a deficiency within their minds where they cannot gather the thoughts or slow down their thought process, well, those people have to be taken through exercise, mental exercises, that would get their thinking on track. That is a difference from a person participating in a habit through choice and chance that they gave the habit. Now, if they want to come out of a habit that they gave a chance, well, then they got to stop it. They have to practice ignoring it. They have to practice saying to themselves, within themselves, I'm not doing that no more because that's hurting me. That's different from a person coming and saying, can you help me figure out this piece because I can't get my thought pattern together? Or somebody that someone has introduced to you and tell you, say, this person has a mental dysfunction and this person cannot function because they are mental. All right? Now, a mental person can be brought back to sanity when his thinking pattern is put back on track. But it must be an individual that knows how to put a person back on track mentally, or either change the appearance of the imprisonation that they suffer mentally within their own mind. But if a person is crying about the failures of their life and the bad experiences that they made, well, all they got to do is change. Don't repeat yourself. If you don't repeat yourself, then you change your choices. Your choices is not going to be for pleasure and at everybody else's cost, or you spending everything you got on pleasure. There ain't no reason to cry. Why are you condemning yourself? Because you allowed that to happen. That's the difference between a person with a mental deficiency that they did not bring into existence. That's why healing, that's why you hear the word healing. Healing is when God has a person that he has anointed to be able to straighten out the situation where the person that's helpless can't help themselves. That's a different thing than a person given a choice, a chance for condemnation of their own self. That's different. So that's what I was speaking
about. I'm glad you clarified it, because I thought when you were saying give choice a chance that you were talking about everybody in every situation, mentally ill or not. And
no,
that meant that everybody had to, everybody was not seeing what they should have seen, not doing what they should have done, yet they had a choice of doing it. Well, we all have choices, but whether or not we have the capacity to make that choice wisely and with a foundation of emotional stability, well, that's what the show's about. Mental illness, et cetera.
Well, like I said, I want to speak with clarity at all times, but sometimes even when you want to speak to clarity, you have to go back and speak it again so that everybody will get the right point. What you're speaking of, when I mentioned choice, if I give choice a chance and my choice that I gave a chance to didn't work out for me, there's no need of me crying about it because I allowed that to happen. Why condemnest thyself in the things in which you allow? Nobody held you at gunpoint. Nobody put a knife to your throat. Nobody even forced you to do it through conversation. It was a choice that you gave a chance to. And because it didn't turn out in the way that you thought it would, or you got hung up on it, well, then that's no reason to cry. That's the reason to turn it around. Now, if a person has a mental deficiency, thought patterns are running rapidly, and they can't process a thought pattern to lead them the right way or the wrong way, or they can't go straight, but then those people need someone that can heal them mentally and know the different methods to take to change that thought pattern from being haphazardly to straight. That's the difference. But when you give choice a chance and it creates a habit, the chance you gave the choice, that nobody forced anyone to do that, and they don't need to crying and weeping about it. The thing to do is change it. Some people say that's more easier said than done. No, you can stop whatever you start. You can stop it if you really want to. Sometimes it takes tragic things to happen for people to stop certain things. Well, why go through that? If it's hurting you, if it's taking every dime you got, if it's making you throw away your bill money, if it's making you lose your home, your cars, all this kind of stuff, it don't take a rocket science to figure out that you're going down the wrong road. Matter of fact, let alone you trying to be strong for somebody, you ain't even strong for yourself until you stop practicing the habit. You see, people practice different things. And the more you practice at a thing, the more you'll either do it or the more you'll get away from it. the better you'll become if you're practicing for the right reason. But if you're practicing a habit, you doing this every time you get something, you're going back to that peace. Well, ain't no need to crying about that. Ain't no need talking about you ain't got nothing. Ain't no need to talking about God ain't bless you with nothing. Yes, God did bless you with something. You just took it and applied it to what you wanted to go to. Now, do you need to be mad at everybody? No, because everybody didn't enjoy what you enjoyed when you gave that choice that chance. You did that. But you got to stop it. But now if it's a mental ill process, then I hope the person that's mental go to a person that can heal them, that has the pathway, the method, to get their thinking pattern on straight.
Yeah, I've got you with the habit. I agree with you if a person is constantly making, well, not even so constant, but is constantly enough making bad choices, then, yeah, they got to stop it. And if it's not to the point yet where that person is suffering from mental illness, then, yeah, of course, we have to stop doing what is counterproductive. Now, you also said if you give choice a chance, there is no need or use crying if you've given choice that chance and it doesn't turn out the way you want. Now, I'm going to disagree with you on that. Here's why.
Why?
There's a lot of boys and girls in puppy love, 16, 15, 17, 18. They're not doing anything wrong. They have just chosen a guy or a girl, boy or a girl, in which he or she has left them to go, well, not to sow the wild oats, but to go continue dating, let's say, right? Now, the girl mm-hmm. had a crush on the guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He just wants to see other women or other girls. Mm-hmm. She's going to cry her eyes out. Does that mean she's doing something wrong? Or if it happens to the boy, does that mean he's doing something wrong if he thought that a budding relationship was going to turn into a good, mature love relationship, and it hasn't? Not because of anything he's done or what she's done. It's just because that's the way it's happened, as you were saying, just the way it happened. Does that boy or girl have the right to cry? Hell yes, because it's painful. That's all you need in order to cry.
Well, so did they have any kind of mature commitment?
It doesn't matter, Reverend, because if they've been together for 6 months, let's say, yes, I'm the one who firmly believes that a man and a woman should say to each other, "Am I yours? Are you mine?" and make that firm commitment so that there's no mistake. But even let's say they did. Let's say, "I really care for you, baby." They both say it to each other, okay? I don't want to be with anybody else. But then a month later, the boy or the girl changes his mind because he's young and he wants to pursue other dating experiences. Now, the one left behind, regardless of whether it's the boy or the girl, is going to feel pain. And that person is going to cry. And I think all you need to do to cry is just feel pain, especially at that age.
I can understand that scenario. I can. But then you have to look at it. If they're in their teens, you know, if they're in their teens, tender teens, teachable 20s, tireless 30s, if they're in those lines right there, they really haven't come to the point of even validating a mature relationship. We give them that because we think, you know, along the lines of equality or they in the same little old teenage group and all this kind of thing. But teenagers, they switch patterns of life like you change clothes because they don't have no stability or availability there. So you can't deem them as sincere, whether 6 months, whether it's 3 months, 2 months.
because it's no stability of a commitment. They haven't matured to that point.
Okay.
So I'm just
definitely.
Hold on a second.
Help. Okay, somebody needs to mute, please.
What?
Yeah. I definitely wanted to speak into this matter.
Please do.
This is biblically where you're supposed to study to show yourself approved, because then you'll know about being equally and unequally yoked. You'll know about the different principalities that you are fighting in high spiritual places. And you'll know that you have to ask God to send the right person and not just involve yourself with your own sexual stimulus, thinking that you may have all the answers. And the only thing about choice is free will. It doesn't mean that you're going to make perfect choices. There's going to be mistakes made. Do you beat yourself up about the mistakes? No, you don't. You build yourself and you learn from the mistakes that you have made. And as far as habits, I believe that a lot of these habits are sent by the enemy, you know. And we all know that he walks around the earth as a roaring lion, seeking to kill, steal, destroy, and devour all that he can touch and put his hands on, you know. And not knowing that you have power in your words to rebuke the enemy that's right there around you or in front of you. Sometimes even inside you, you got to learn how to pray and get these things off of you. And your main focus should be in your life that if God created you in his image and his likeness, there is a value and an importance to your life that no man can put down. Now, I would definitely pose this, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
That's right. Now to just in lieu of what you're saying, dear brother, if we go to the image of God and if we practice God's ways, then the enemy won't be able to trick us unless we make a choice. Unless we make a choice to do the wrong thing.
And even then, with the enemy, even with the enemy tricking you, God is quick to renew us. God is quick to come to our salvation. These are the things that a lot of us don't know, you know. But you got to study to find these things out. You got to get in that relationship. You got to read that word, and it really will help you. It really will save your life. You know,
it saved mine.
Amen. And I've buried a lot of people in my lifetime, and I've made a lot of mistakes, but God has been there for me. And he continues to be there for me. One thing that he said in the word, and he is very true to, is I will never leave you or forsake you. Man will let you down, but God will not let you down. Amen. He will not let you down. When you're alone in the room by yourself, after you didn't buried the only person that raised you, and you're asking yourself, well, okay, what do I do next? What's next to come? And then you bury six more people, and you say, oh, wow, everybody I'm close to is gone. And you realize that Bible was still sitting there, still sitting there waiting for you to pick it up and read it. You realize that them get-out-of-jail-free cards is gone. You realize that all those special times that you had with them family members and all the things that you could do was not an option anymore. That's when you begin to weigh your circumstances. That's when you understand, hey, God has been in control the whole time. It's just it's sad that it happens. It happens to so many of us like that.
Well, you know what?
Like those.
You know, when, say, my folk died 30 years ago, and my daddy was 2 years before my mother. When they died, I wasn't helpless or hopeless because they taught me something. Mm-hmm. And I heard and listened to what they taught me. So when they was no longer on the scene, I could cater to what they had taught me and move on through life. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't leave me without knowing anything. And thank God I was a child that listened, because I took what they taught me and it carried me and matured me on to the man that I am now. And I didn't go through a lot of things a lot of people went through, because I didn't make that my choice. They taught me, and they made analogies of people living different kind of lives. They taught me what it was to deal for God and how he would bless mm-hmm. you in your life. And that was my practice. And they also taught me if you live apart from God, you'd have trouble and you'd live a hard life. Well, I didn't want a hard life. So I may have erred from the way, but guess what? I hurry up and asked for forgiveness and got back on track. Because mm-hmm. I didn't want no continuation. I didn't want to spend a long time in my life, you know, fighting and struggling and wasn't achieving anything because the devil was tricking me. They told me what was the devil playing, going to and forth, seeking whom. They differentiated the difference in my life, and I listened, and I followed that which was right. The choice I made was God, because they taught me that God would be there for you. God would make it happen for you. And I grown and learned to find that was the truth. So now, amen. Now it's God all the way. I ain't looking for nothing in the world that I've been living in, because guess what? I've watched that pattern. Remember, they taught me from a child up, if you do the wrong thing, you're going to have trouble. Mm-hmm. If you do the right thing, you're going to be blessed. So I learned the difference between the word trouble and blessings. And what blew my mind was blessings was more better than trouble.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Go ahead.
Inez, how long have you had me muted?
When somebody was knocking on the door.
Okay, I wanted to know if you had heard that. Oh, okay. Thanks. All right. It wasn't somebody knocking on the door. Do you know what it was? It was my neighbor knocking on my window because he had to climb up the fire escape, and he didn't know which window was his apartment versus my apartment. So I'm thinking, I got a crazy dude out here on the fire escape knocking on the window, and I'm relieved to find out that it's just my nutty neighbor who lost his keys, apparently, and tried to get inside his apartment. I wanted to find out if you heard it. Okay, you did. All right, good. Thanks.
That's why I muted you, yes. You're welcome. Not a problem. Thank you.
Miss Inez, I have a very special message for my daughter. I apologize. And Miss Empress Love, here you go.
Thank you to all the callers and supporters, and I am Empress Love Green. And shout out to all the 300 team winning members.
Good job. You actually did. Hey, we got
302, baby. 302.
Yeah. You've got her as your spokeswoman.
Yeah.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all all. It's very important. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Is that what you were practicing in the background, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want to say this to the public out there. No matter what your problem is, brother, if you could look up, you could get up. And always believe that there's someone else out there that's got it worse. You know, God makes a way out of no way. Put your faith in God. Trust in him. He'll make a way out of no way for you. But if you can look up, as long as you can look up, as long as you're breathing, you can get up.
You can get up. You can get up.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I believe it. And I'm sorry. I got to thank you, Ms. Inez. Thank you for waking my daughter in the radio. And you locked in for life because the first radio show my daughter was on was with you. So I don't want to hear nothing. I don't care. You with me. And that's it. That's my daughter.
All right.
But,
okay.
Was my guy. I got thousands of people that bring to your show, but it makes me feel good to know my daughter is going to change the world because she understands what real radio is today. That's right. Come on. I send 1,000 shows out every day, but not every day my daughter is on the radio with me. This is priceless. I brought it to your show first.
And what is her name?
I'm sorry. Empress Love Green. Empress Love Green. Empress Love Green.
Well, welcome, Empress Love Green, to the Miss Inez Says Let's Do It radio. And you are on this evening show, Men's Mental State of Mind. For your first time. So we... What did Reverend say? If you don't record it, you can't reward it. Is that right?
You swagged that guy. I heard it. It's priceless. I love it. Come on. Let's do a radio. Now let's get done. Let's do a radio. That's the topic. That's the show we on. I thank everybody out there in radio land. We about to change the world right now. Not tomorrow.
It's already changed. Yes, sir. Thank you. So, I know she's at up. Well, so you know you were 3 hours behind me, 2 hours behind me. So we all right. Yeah.
She's gonna be working with me. At the end of the day, I'm sorry, my daughter is a diehard. I can't put her to sleep. Every time I put her to sleep, what's she doing, Daddy? Let me see on the computer. And every time I ask her that, she's right there with me. So. She's learning. Everything I learned, she's learning. I'm a 45-year legend in this game. All the stuff I learned from my father, I'm still here doing it. So Miss Inez, Ronnie Jones, the rest of Chris Collins. Don't let me forget about Chris Collins. But everybody, if you got my text message, you ain't calling to the show, you did yourself a disservice because we're changing the world right now. Not talking about tomorrow. We're doing it right now. That's what I'm about. I don't know. On that note, I don't have my plane, Queen.
You keep on going to all these different cities. You're going to have some frequent flyer miles in a minute.
I got you, Miss Inez. I'm personally in awe because my daughter was on the radio today. That's so much. She heard the whole show. She heard everybody say what they said and all that. And thank God it's not a round cheese conversation. She heard real business go down. And how can you conduct real business when you become an adult if you don't know how real business is done as a child?
Right.
On that note, I am my point.
Okay. What's the name of your airline?
My airline is Empress Love Green.
She controls that is not
everything.
The airline.
Yep, I was just about to say he's going to name the airline after his daughter.
So you understand. This is real. This is real radio. But not everybody can do it like I do. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. So what we see, we over here, we still talking about the radio. This is talking about men's health. And, oh, we were talking about, I was at the end of what I was talking about, so, which was the different, removing the different stigmas. So do you all have any stigmas that you need to remove, that you need to talk about? And please be mindful that there is a young lady on the line, so no cussing, cursing, so on and so forth. Joe.
Oh, now you mentioned my name. Thanks a lot. Other time, nah. Now, yeah.
This is my show. I don't have to mention your name, but I'm glad to mention your name. So now, this is going to be.
I know,
right,
especially
there,
when it comes to an admonition about don't curse, Joe. Okay, nobody else, just Joe.
Because nobody else is cursing, Joe.
Well, I didn't say that. I know that. The only person around here who would curse would be me, but you don't have to mention it.
Okay, I won't mention it anymore tonight unless you curse.
Joe,
so, hey.
Yeah, right. Unless I know. I hope you come on to my show so I can, please come on to
mute
my
me?
Show.
So I
yes.
can land my plane and
yes.
you can mute me? Oh, I know
yes.
how to hang up. I'm okay. That's okay. I don't have to hang up and not come back. It won't hurt my feelings because I don't have any feelings now.
I know.
I'm messing. But as we get back to
I know.
It's about the men. It's about the men. It's not about Miss Inez. It's not about Joe. It's about men's health. And I'm just trying to make sure that you all get your just due because, like you said earlier, the men do not get what's due to them because they get short-sheeted so much. So I want to make sure that you men get what's due you. And if you have topics of interest that you want me to look up or what have you, let me know. And we can discuss them because, like I said, this month is men's month. And Father's Day is coming up and so on and so forth. And Juneteenth and a lot of things coming up. So, anybody care to discuss something else? I can always go on.
I would
go
definitely
ahead,
like
Ronnie.
To discuss something.
Go ahead.
This is for everyone. You know, I was diabetically at a 7.4, and now I'm at a 9.3. Men. Women, take care of yourself. Take care of your health. I didn't even know my blood sugar had jumped up on me so high. And I can say this because I know God is going to heal me and I'm going to be fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm.
Eat healthy and think wisely. You know, if it's too greasy, leave it alone. If it's too sweet, let it stay in the street. Please believe it's not worth your life and it's not worth your health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, well, first off, you need to, because this is what I did. I had lost 25 pounds, and what I had done is that it was a journey. It was called a 40-day turnip. And what you need to do is take everything that has more than four ingredients out of your house. Because if it gets beyond four ingredients, it's not good for you. So what it was that we had done is we ate within the first hour we got up. Then every 3 hours we ate. And we ate 400 calories. You know, the max was 400 calories per meal. I probably ate 200 calories because I love cucumbers. So most of my meals are cucumbers. And I walked a lot. But you have 20% protein and 80% greens or vegetables. And so you don't have to have a big plate. You can have a small plate because you eat every 3 hours. I mean, I was full. I ate stuff that was filling, but it wasn't fattening. And so you have to get rid of all your OSAs, your dextrose, your anything that ends in O-S-E, because that's sugar. And once I did all that, just basically clean out your cabinets and in your refrigerator, and you don't have that staring you in your face, you can't eat what you don't see. So once you realize that, that's another way that you can also maintain. And then meal prep as well. If you meal prep something simple, if you want to get, if you're hungry, because you could snack, but I didn't snack. Do your nuts, you know. We couldn't, what else we couldn't do? We're not supposed to eat pork, but whatever. Some people, I ate a lot of fish and a lot of cucumbers, and I walked because you don't have to do a lot. You don't have to go to a gym if you don't have a gym membership. Walk. Take your daughters out. Take your daughters and walk. You know, get them involved in what you're doing so they can help you as well. And once they see you exercising, they're going to say, Dad, come on. We want you to stay healthy and stay in this world. So let's go exercise. You know, let's go to the park. Let's do this. Let's do that. And keep you energized with your exercise. And I did. I'd walk anywhere between 10 to 20 miles a day. And that's how I firmed up and lost my weight. So it can be done, and it was done in 40 days. So and I diet.
Well, I like to offer. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry, I thought you finished.
No, I didn't land my plane. Miss Empress is still out there flying, so I'm not.
I guess.
So, but yeah, and drink lots of water. So if your weight is 200 pounds, you need to drink at least 100 ounces of water throughout the day. And then once you start losing your weight, you get down to 180, then you do 90 ounces and so on and so forth. So when you lose the weight, and the people who were on this journey, the doctors were saying, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because they got off of diabetes medicine. They got off of heart medicine. They got off of so many medicines. And we lost, how many thousands? I think we lost 11,000 pounds, I think. Something like that amongst our group. So it can be done. And I just keep talking about this because I want the men to stay around. I want the women to stay around. So you got to get healthy for yourself, because only you can do for you. People can talk to you until you're blue in the face or whatever color you are in the face. But unless you want to take the initiative, there's no sense in somebody else, you know, talking to you and doing whatever you're doing. Unless you actually want to do it yourself. I land my plane. So take out all the sodas, take out all those cookies, take out all the chips, and just have your natural foods in your, and then we had, on Friday, which was our fruit day, all we had was whatever fruit we decided at the beginning of our journey, and we decided on apples. So on Friday, it's kind of like a cleansing. So all we would eat is apples that day. So I would eat 3 apples on Friday. And that helped. And then on Saturday, we would weigh ourselves and also take our blood pressure. And so my blood pressure was always under like under 100 and something. So over whatever, because I would exercise. So if that's what we need to do, men, start, you know, keeping ourselves accountable for keeping each other healthy. If that's what we need to do, check in with each other, that's what we'll do. But your A1C, I don't want to be trying to be something way up to 9 something. No, we're not going to have that, because we don't want to have to be attending nobody's funeral if not, doesn't need to be. So, bruh, you're going to make that change.
Yes,
I want to play Man in the Mirror at the end of the show again. Because it's only you who have to look in the mirror, and you have to make that change, because can't nobody make that change but you. And you start with you first, and you can, you know, you will be fine. You will be just fine. And just think of us. Hey, I got friends out there who are holding me accountable. And then that's another thing that will help you keep on track as well. I land my plane. Anybody else care to discuss something?
I also have a homemade remedy for the caller. Do you have diabetes 1 or diabetes 2?
2.
Okay, that's what I have.
I got 2.
Now, this is what I did. This was last year. I didn't self-diagnose. I didn't go to a doctor. The reason why I say I had diabetes too was because when I noticed that when I started going to the bathroom and urinate, that outside of the normal smell of urine and piss, I started to smell very strong concentrations of uric acid. Mm-hmm. I smelled that for about 2 to 3 weeks. Then it changed to ammonia, pure ammonia, when I go to the bathroom. So I knew I was in trouble. And I felt it was diabetes too, because I didn't feel any kind of headaches, nausea, any kind of physical breakdown. So what I did, I just went cold turkey on sugar. I used to eat sugar by the boatload, practically. You know, pints of ice cream, gum, anything that was sugar. I still like sugar, but and chocolate especially. I went cold turkey, and in about 5 weeks, no longer did I smell any uric acid or ammonia. I just all I smelled was the normal urine. So that's just my homemade remedy. I'm saying it's homemade because it worked for me. Maybe you should see a doctor about if it would work for you. I'm just giving you my opinion, not my advice.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. I really do appreciate that. So.
Sure.
But and then drinking water. Did you drink a lot of water, Joe, or no?
I started drinking a little bit more water. I also wanted. I didn't even have to exercise. I didn't have to do anything except cut out the sugar. Okay. Just cut out the sugar. As you were saying, Inez, the sweets. Don't drink any diet sodas because they're full of chemicals that have been found out recently to be deleterious to your health. Just kind of do it cold turkey. Don't do it slowly. Cold turkey, okay? I don't know if you're smelling uric acid or ammonia, but if you apparently you've been diagnosed with diabetes too because you have a range which went from 7 point something to 9. Like I said, I was self-diagnosed. I didn't go to the doctor. But when I, you know, when these changes occurred, it just, you know, it doesn't seem like common sense to me. Just my body was telling me, go more sugar. And in 30 days in a week, so that'd be 5 weeks, I was, you know, cured of the smells and felt better.
That's good.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And another thing you want to do is do a cleanse. Whenever you start, you know, if you start on a weekend or whatever, do a good cleanse of your colon, and so you can get all those everything out. And I'll turn you all on to Dr. Joe Williams. Yeah, Dr. Joseph Williams. He has a like a colon cleanse, and it is so good, and you don't even know that you're doing the colon cleanse, but you know that you're doing the colon cleanse because you will be cleansed, and that starts you jumpstart, you know, as a clean bill of health, and then you can start, you know, taking out and deleting all of those bad sugars and what have you. If you do any sugars, make sure it's a natural sugar. And a lot of things you couldn't eat, like more associate carrots and stuff, because anything that was in the ground, even though it was a vegetable, we weren't supposed to eat. So we couldn't eat carrots, potatoes, beets, turnips, all that stuff. But we can eat the greens, we can eat the turnip greens, we can eat the collard greens, we can eat those types of things. So if it was in the ground, we couldn't eat it because it was full of sugar. And so you also want to check your sugar content, And if you go to, I think it's MyFitnessPal.com, it will give you the caloric intake. It's called MyFitnessPal.com. And it tells you, okay, so for an ounce of salmon, you know, it's this many calories. Okay, for one egg, it's this many calories. For a slice of cheese, it's this many calories, so on and so forth. So narrow your food down to, you know, with as much as you can, and then take it to MyFitnessPal, and that's a good indicator for you to count your calories. As far as, like I said, mine, I kept mine under 200 calories, and even your salad dressings, they have sugars in them. All we could eat was zero
this and zero that. And we had to make sure that it was approved by them, because even though it said zero, didn't mean it was good. I mean, something like Skinny Girl or what was that one that I used? I can't remember what it was. But there were some very good dressings out there. So you just go to the store and start reading your labels. That's another thing we did, was we read our labels. And as I said before, if it has more than five ingredients, put it back. Put it back.
Yes, ma'am.
So.
And.
So because it's not natural.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
Another thing, they would talk about reading your ingredients. Do not pick foods out from the supermarket that say no sugar. Okay, using sugar substitute, that is worse than sugar. It's a chemical that affected my body adversely. So I would recommend, I would just recommend, as she's doing, your goal, Inez, was to lose weight. Mine was just to get rid of the sugar in the blood.
Wow.
And but if you just go, if you just eat non-processed foods and candy, cold turkey, you will see the difference in 30 days or a little bit more. Just
or less.
Fresh
or
chicken
less.
Or fresh, yeah. Just cook the food yourself. No processed food, no dinners, no TV dinners. Cut out the starches, as she's saying. I don't eat a lot of starch anyway. But and then just fruits, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh meat, and it should help. The doctors have been recommending that for years until the you know, big pharma stepped in.
Yeah, they don't like us to be healthy.
No.
They really don't. They really, really don't. They don't. And he was talking about processed food. If you can go organic, that's best. But I know it's more expensive, but you will feel a lot better. And it, like I said, if you could prepackage your food, or prepackage your food and stuff, you won't have to go to the refrigerator looking for something that you don't want to eat. You go, okay, and then you could meal plan, meal prep, that's the word I'm trying to say. And I even had like little mini quiches. You know, you make your batter up with your eggs, you know, cheese, green pepper, bell pepper, whatever, and put it in the little cup, the little muffin tins, spray some oil and put it in muffin tins, and you can freeze them. And it's like, okay, I eat a couple of these. And anything you put in your mouth, you put it in Fitness Pal, and it will give you a caloric outtake. And also, you have a fat, you have a oil, protein, a fat, and a protein fat. And segment was it protein fat and the carbs, the good carbs, like your cauliflower, all those types of carbs. So you got your good carbs and you have your bad carbs. So I don't think we ate pasta. No, we didn't eat pasta. So it's a whole change, but in order for us to keep you on this earth, you're going to have to make that change yourself and want to do for yourself, so you can see the people who you love a lot longer than one day at a time. So I'm just saying. I ain't saying no more. I just landed my plane.
Thank you all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, And
sure,
I have your email
welcome.
Address, so I can send you the information as well. And I'll send you the one from Dr. Joe Williams. He was he had done this program for about 10 years before he put it out into the atmosphere, and people thought that he was on crack or something like that, but he just changed his journey. And he's been doing it for probably quite a few years now, so he's maintaining. And he and his wife, and I mean, you know, he was like 300 and some odd pounds, and now I think he's down to 190. And it works out and everything like that. So just think about it. Just if you want to stay healthy and keep healthy,
You don't even have to go to get a gym membership. You can start at home. If you just start walking around, putting weights on your ankles, putting weights on your arms, you can do, if you can't do, get on the floor and do push-ups, push-ups off the wall. I do push-ups off of the back of my couch. I do push-ups off the back of my chairs. You can do, you can sit down and do exercises if you can't do a lot of walking and stuff, because I don't know your size and you don't have to tell me your size. But, you know, let's get your weight down to a point where, or your count down to a point where you will feel healthy. It's like, oh, I feel good, you know, and get rid of the medicines, because you don't need to be giving no medicine. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Yes, ma'am.
So, okay. So that's my medical advice for today. Anybody else care to say anything?
No, it wasn't. It's your medical opinion, not advice.
I advise them to eat different. Nuh-uh.
Huh?
That's my advice. That's my advice, and I'm sticking to it.
Legally, I would suggest you rephrase it, because you're a public figure now. You're on the air.